live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If you decided to quit smoking for the new year, it's going to be easy to keep that going today. You really want to go stand outside? It was 12 below when I got in my car. Come on! Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Of all the mistakes I've made in my life, and boy, that's a long list. I never smoked. And you walk by people outside, or you see people outside in the last 2 weeks. Good God. I hope you made that New Year's resolution.
You should.
12 below, wind chills as bad as 24, 25, 26 below. Temperature at O'Hare and Midway is also 7, 8, 9, 10 below.
Oh, we set a record, though. Coldest New Year's ever in Chicago.
Yeah. I was there. New Year's Eve, congratulations to everyone involved with the show. Well, okay, me too. I meant to everybody else. It kind of came out wrong. But fine time had by all. We'll cover that more a little bit later on. By the way, I want to apologize to some of the crowd. The crowd was huge. We had a line that was unavoidable, but still I felt very badly about some of those folks that had to be outside for a few minutes before they could get in. So sorry about that. It wasn't, I don't think, very long, but who cares? When it's that cold, this long is too long.
Yeah, frostbite sets in pretty quick.
Sorry about that. There were various video pieces that you guys were in that was were well received. Lots of laughs, good times had by all. So, fun night on New Year's Eve. Northwestern won a bowl game while we were out?
That is correct.
Yeah, yes. Congratulations.
Go Cats. It
was fun. Did you have fun in Nashville?
I had a good time in Nashville, yeah.
Did you sign a recording deal?
No, but I did pick up the guitar a few times in some of the clubs around town and just kind of strummed a few.
Did you tour at all? Did you go to the Ryman?
I didn't go to the Ryman. Saw the Ryman. Didn't actually make it to the Ryman.
It's not hard to get around Nashville. There's not a, you know, it's not a huge downtown.
And the downtown's cool a few things. Blocks. But
what'd you do for fun?
See, we didn't do the Country Music Hall of Fame, which I enjoyed. There wasn't a lot of downtime. I mean,
is that right? Yeah, I thought you guys were in town all week.
I was in town, you know, for 3 or 4 days, but I went to practice and I have game prep, Steve, you know, which takes up a lot of my time.
A load of crap that is after all these years.
Thanks, Steve.
What'd you do New Year's?
New Year's Eve, I actually was going to be at the comedy show, but
no, you didn't make it.
I got stuck, I told John, watching my godkids, which was kind of nice.
Oh, you could have brought them.
Well, they're four and five. I didn't want them.
I'm big in the 4 and 5.
Well, you are too. Yeah, I wasn't sure about the other guys. You know, I didn't know if you guys were going to go blue.
No, it's New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight.
We ate so many peanut butter pretzels; it was fantastic. We just live large. Let me tell you.
We actually went to dinner after the show at 10 o'clock.
Did you?
Yeah, Angelini's out in Naperville, a great Italian joint. Been there forever. And I had this cute little waitress, 21, 22 years old, who just guilted us into staying till 12:30.
Did you stay? Whoa.
Yeah, she was too nice. She was a great kid, and she was too nice to leave.
So you did the countdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Well, I stay up anyway. You know, I'm still a 12-year-old.
Got to watch the Mark Jane Greco Jan Davies.
Well, let's not go crazy.
Thing.
Good news this year is Jean Greco didn't lick her. Right. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago when Mark Jean Greco licked Janet Davies' face live on the air.
Right.
I hope you had a fine holiday break. And lots to do on the program today, as always, including trying to explain the new tax situation to you. Hamp on the fact that John Fox was fired by the Bears. Were you as shocked as I was to see that happen?
I was stunned.
Mike Ditka later on that. Ditka is a friend and a fan of Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know that there's a lot to discuss there other than going forward who might get the gig.
But I think last time we talked to Mike, he acknowledged that this is, and as he knows firsthand, this is how it works.
Yeah.
And
you're hired to be fired.
Yeah, I mean, they all know that. That's what they sign up for.
Who else got popped yesterday?
Jim Caldwell in Detroit,
right?
He's been there for a long, long time. Yeah. And as Bruce Arians retired as the coach of the Arizona Cardinals, where he's had a lot of success. Of course, he was a guy who was up for the Bears job a couple of coaches ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly John Gruden's going to be back in Oakland.
Yeah, and Jack Del Rio got thrown out for that.
That was after the game Sunday.
Kind of a surprise. And Indianapolis as well.
Chuck Pagano, yeah. So,
anybody else still to go, or is that pretty much it?
There might be a few more. Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis, they're still sorting that out. Denver decided to keep their guy. Cleveland had already said they were keeping their guy. The Giants are looking for a coach.
By the way, that's the 0-16 Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, how about that? But they kept their coach.
They love him there.
But, well, they do. And, look, they haven't had a whole lot to work with, even though they have the first pick every year. And like the first five picks this coming year, but six teams are without coaches at the moment.
And I've got to turn those offers down. I mean, I don't have time with this show. The responsibilities are too
You don't need that.
What do you do to stay warm in the cold weather and the medical situation that goes along with it? Dr. Kevin Most coming up on that. We have big personal news on the show that doesn't involve me, but involves one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Me?
No, it doesn't involve you. Doesn't involve you, doesn't involve me.
Hey,
Andrea.
Maybe.
Doesn't Happy involve New Year, guys. Steve?
Yeah.
No?
Maybe.
No.
We'll see. Keep guessing.
Not me. Are you sure it's not me?
Well, it could be you. Danica Patrick.
On my desk.
Danica. No, it's not that. Danica Patrick will be on later.
That's going to be cool.
So, I'm going to ask her about her boyfriend. They had a big breakup.
Did they break up?
Yeah. Oh. Fellow driver, wasn't he?
You have your finger on the pulse of the entertainment news in NASCAR.
Yes, I got to watch all of it. Yeah. Trouble in Pakistan. Crazy. 6:15. We'll do the big. You'll do the big story. Mm-hmm. We'll do the top six coming up in just a second. But before we get to that,
from the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
It is 6:20, and item number one is this. How cold was it yesterday here in Chicago? The polar plunge was canceled because it was too cold to go polar.
Mm.
Didn't you do that last year?
I did it last year, yeah, with the Warrior
What was
games.
The temperature last year?
Last year it was warm. It was like 30.
Yeah, but wasn't that in March?
Yeah, that the one we did was in March. These are the folks who just, this isn't like the organized.
Oh, this is the unofficial one?
Yeah, where they all just jump in the water and...
They determined the water was too cold to have anyone go in because they would, oh, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, die?
Mm-hmm.
Is die the word I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
The lake temperatures is right around freezing. We're getting that ice now going out to where you can't see the end of it anymore. And this stretch of 2 weeks, you know, listen, I lived in Minneapolis for 5 years. This is Minnesota cold.
Mm-hmm.
This is nuts. And it needs to stop. So here's what we know. 25 degrees or 26 may be the high on Sunday. And we couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because we had such a mild November and December, here's some upside for you. Stay positive about this. We got 8 weeks of bad weather left. Because once we get to March, it's spotty. It's good. It's bad. It's good. It's bad. You know, you can get 60, 70 degrees in March.
Golf weather.
So, anyway, it's super cold, and if you can possibly stretch your vacation another day, I'd highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Next. John Fox out, as we mentioned. Ryan Pace, the general manager, extended. Let's go live with Dave at Lake Forest, at the Bears headquarters, at Hallis Hall. What do you make of the Ryan Pace extension?
Really, Steve, it's too cold to talk about it this morning. I'm standing outside because, they won't let me in.
Dave.
The building's locked. I can't get in. So
why does the GM get an extension?
Well, I think you have to give the GM an extension in this case if he's going to go out and hire the new coach. Because what coach?
Well, is his contract up to?
It wasn't up, but there needs.
Well, then you don't have to give an extension.
Well, I don't know that it was up. It was a 2-year extension through 2021, which means he had another year or two to go on it. But mm-hmm. is a new coach going to come in knowing that the guy who hires him might not be here? See, that's always
what you did.
You
there.
Know what that's like when you work for a guy who's not there.
Yeah,
right.
I did that. That happened in New York. I went to work in New York for a guy that had worked there 10 years
mm-hmm.
on the biggest radio station in the country at the time. He was fired 4 weeks after I got there.
Oh,
yeah. And I was fired 4 months after that.
Okay, but see, I mean, that's the point. What coach of the top
candidates... You need stability at the top. That makes sense.
You need some continuity. Yeah. Reporting live outside Hallis Hall.
Bundle update.
Very... Yeah, I'm going to get...
Yeah, come back to the studio here.
Thank you.
All right, next. South Korea's proposed high-level talks with North Korea this week after Kim Jong-un called for negotiations to ease military tensions and to discuss his country's participation in the Winter Olympics. Now, this would make you generally optimistic, because if Kim Jong-un is saying, we'd like our people, our athletes, to participate in the Olympics, you're thinking, well, maybe you get Kim Jong-un a couple of tough tickets to the events, maybe figure skating, the final.
Third row center.
Yeah. And maybe we can back him down. You know, he just wants to play. He just wants to be part of the situation. Yeah. I did hear something, though, that I found interesting when they said it's very unlikely Kim Jong-un would attack the games where his athletes were participating. Really? A guy that killed his uncle and fed him to dogs?
Mm-hmm.
A guy that apparently killed one of his top officials with a missile?
Yeah.
A guy that poisoned his half-brother?
Mm-hmm. Then I think he's
going to be worried about the losers.
Right.
So I think it's as much concern as he sends his athletes, and then he causes problems.
How about Moon Jae, you know, the South Korean leader? He said he was going to ask, this was what struck me, he's going to ask the unification ministry to come up with some safety procedures and follow-up measures to restore the talks. They have a unification ministry.
The way that diplomacy goes on is not exactly the way you solve a problem, because it's three or four down the line, and then it's like a bad version of the telephone game, because your meeting is had, and then you've got to come back and tell me what was said to you, and I didn't hear any of it. Nah, come on. Just do it on FaceTime.
Instagram.
Yeah, I still maintain you can give Kim Jong-un a seat at the kids' table. You know, this whole Pakistan story came up this weekend where Trump tweeted out, I'm tired of giving all this money to Pakistan. He's not wrong about that. But the point is, Pakistan is a nuclear power and has international recognition and is a an ally of sorts to the United States, and a shady one. North Korea doesn't have to be an ally, but they could be a shady member. They're not going to give up their nukes. They're just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this continued talk that we're going to talk them out of it is ridiculous.
They should give Kim Jong-un a Twitter account. I think that would solve a lot of problems.
I'd follow him.
I would, too.
I'd follow him. Next. Iran State TV says 9 more were killed amid nationwide protests this week. And President Rouhani, it may be the ultimate out here, because he seems to have lost control of his country. The death toll has risen to at least 20. And in a separate tragic story, because I certainly feel for the people of Iran who are dying in the streets there in what, you know, seems to be peaceful protests that have gotten out of hand on some level, there's this terrible plane crash in Costa Rica where 2 families were lost. A doctor and his wife and their 2 sons, and a separate doctor and his wife was also a doctor, and their 3 children. All killed, along with the guide in the plane and the pilot and the co-pilot in this tour plane in Costa Rica. What we don't know is, have you seen anything about why it went down?
No, I'm not. I have not seen anything. I'm reading the latest 2 from CNN now. Either engine failure is one of the considerations. They're still looking into an official cause.
Just an awful story. 2 families wiped out on New Year's Eve. And then this. Chicago Immigration Court has the 2nd longest wait time in America, more than 1,000 days. Court officials had said at the end of fiscal 2017, Chicago's Immigration Court had more than 25,000 pending cases backlogged in its system.
Right. We're only behind Colorado.
The immigration system is just a joke. Well, Colorado, it's because of the weed.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, we'll do it later.
You know what they're saying, though? Main reason? The complexity of the cases.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Well, How is this different than any other?
No, it's ridiculous. And the lottery is ridiculous. The whole immigration system is ridiculous. But a wall's not going to solve it. Next. The 3 most popular movies in North America in 2017. And I don't know about you guys. I like all the year-end lists. And the whole premise of a good chunk of what I do on New Year's Eve is the year in review. Mm-hmm. But the year in review takes a lot of preparation, a lot of work. And once it's over, I'm done with 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It's New Year's Eve. But this 2017 look back goes well into January with a lot of people, partly because it's a lazy thing that TV can do, because they could just slap some crap together and go, look at this. But the 2017 year-end movie lists are just now coming to being tabulated by everybody. So what do you think they are?
Well,
three most popular movies.
I knew Wonder Woman was one.
Wonder Woman is one. Dave, control of the board.
I would say
one of these I don't remember.
Really?
Wonder Woman, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I don't even remember Beauty and the Beast coming.
Remember
that was
the live one.
Yeah.
I mean, not live, but
Emma
not the
Roberts.
Animated one.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Last year, it was pretty bad. I never saw it, but I heard
either.
It was great.
Yeah.
And Star Wars The Last Jedi, which is out now.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Three most popular movies in North America, all driven by female characters.
It's awesome.
Hasn't happened in almost 40 years.
Absolutely awesome.
And did you see? You haven't seen Star Wars yet?
I have not seen Star Wars yet.
What
can
is
you
your
believe
deal?
It? I know. I was busy with the God Kids over Christmas. And this weekend, for sure, I have to go
obviously
see Star Wars.
Not so big a Star Wars fan.
No,
anymore.
I am.
Oh, so you say.
I am. I want to see what happens to Leia.
Hey, there may be a late
Ray.
Add to your top six at six.
What's that?
The Today Show is making news again this morning.
I had heard this as a rumor. Is it official?
It is official.
All right. This is another story for women.
Yes, it is.
Well, a story for everybody. Sure. Maybe a story of triumphant women.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, Steve?
Hoda has been named co-host of the Today Show. They just announced it on the Eastern time zone version of the Today Show.
Hoda Kotb?
Yes.
Yeah.
So is she still going to get drunk with Kathy Lee, or is she done with it?
She's going to be paired with Savannah Guthrie. So
who's going to get drunk
forward.
With Kathy Lee?
They'll have to find somebody
That's
else.
That's a great question. I wonder, will she stay on? She can't stay on.
Why?
And then she'd be on TV. Well, she'd be on TV till what, 11 o'clock then?
It's and as
well, but they leave at
five,
9.
6 hours? Yeah.
If we've not learned anything from Mary Vandeveld, it is okay to drink alone. So
there
she
you
could
go.
Single-
But here's the
single-handedly
deal.
Do it.
This
right?
is the thing with TV, the back-breaking television talk shows.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I was watching CBS This Morning, which is really the only news show on in the morning. And CBS This Morning did their appropriate tribute to all the people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's 200 people that work on that show.
Oh, my God.
200 people.
Wow, you thought you had a lot.
Well, that's my point. We do 4 hours here every day with a staff of 6 people.
Uh-huh.
So come on, please.
Come on, people.
Like Hoda can't go 6 to 9, come back and get smashed with Kathy Lee?
It might be her, yeah. It could be like her cool down.
So,
you know, like in a workout. Good for her, though.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
I like her.
I like Hoda, too.
Yeah, I like her. I think it's a good call. Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We'll give away one of these desktop indoor weather stations so you can see how cold it is. And then say things like we all say, like, why do I live here?
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Morse right now.
You know, if you're, you're like me and you treat your body like a temple, you're always eating the kale. You know the kale. And John DeCosta's song, Kaleluya, was featured at the New Year's Eve show. But I need to thank John and Tim Benker, who did a ton of work preparing and producing the New Year's Eve show, which Dr. Most and his brother Brad and Brad's wife Ann were all at. Thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to see you. You guys did a great job. It was fun. I thought John's trip across America was excellent as well.
Kaleluya, I hope, will be performed live when John comes in Friday.
It should be, as long as Dave's going to be there.
So, you know, New Year's Eve, we're getting ready for the show. And, you know, I'm minding my business. I'm not hurting anybody. And I get a text from Doc. It says, trouble. Are you guys not in Crystal Lake? Because remember, we did the show at the Row for several years. And been at the Tivoli, Downers Grove, for the last 2 years. So I'm trying to get ready for the show, and I'm going, oh, no, this is terrible. So I text him back. I go, did you drive to Crystal Lake? He texts me back, no, Brad drove.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, okay, one of us is confused, and it's probably not me.
Yeah.
Turns out Doc was just being a funny boy.
Oh.
Yeah. I call him up. He goes, how naive are you? I'm outside.
Well, it could be, though, because Brad came to our remote in LaGrange.
Yeah. And listen, it's a doctor and a guy that big shot an advertising agency. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know how to find a show. But you had me. I was a complete dope.
You know me well enough. We've been friends for decades. Yeah. I mean, I thought you would have said, yeah, right, just get in here.
No, I thought you were in Crystal Lake. And part of me was sort of hoping you were so I could mock you for it. But, you know. Yeah. But I appreciate you coming. I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah. It's ridiculous outside. I just got a text from the 847. It's so cold in Illinois. Mike Madigan had his hands in his own pockets. That's funny. That's good. Thank you, listeners.
Water on my car froze completely.
You've got a block of ice in your hand. But let's talk about the basics here. We just heard a term, Doc, I'm not familiar with, frost nip.
Yeah. So frost nip is the condition that happens just before frost bite. So frost nip, your skin is starting to get really cold, but it's not, the crystals haven't formed under the skin yet. But it's the kind of time where if you get that warning, you start to get that tingling. With frost nip, your skin will get a little bit white. And, you know, that's the time, get inside before the damage of frostbite occurs. So frost nip, just before frostbite.
All right, so frostbite, you mentioned the crystals under your skin form. So literally, it ices under your skin?
Yeah. So remember, you probably heard in school, the body is made up of, you know, some outrageous amount of water, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, 80%. So what happens is we have fluid in our cells, and that fluid will freeze. So the water freezes inside cells in the body, and those cells are really important because they make up our skin, they make up our nerves, they make up all the other tissues and muscle. And once, you know, you've probably seen somebody that has a frozen pop bottle or a frozen even water bottle, how it expands.
Glass of water right here.
It does the exact same thing where it expands and causes damage and breaks the outside of those cells and then causes major damage.
How about those hand warmers? I was using those in my glove on Saturday, and I know I should be wearing mittens, but I was wearing the...
say that. I can't believe you weren't wearing mittens.
I know. I need to, and I wasn't, and I thought of you immediately, but I was using those hand warmers. Are those just temporary fixes?
Yeah, but they're great for you too, because it's going to keep your digits warm. I mean, whether you have them in your, because they make them for shoes now as well. They make them for heels. They make them for your feet. And they make them for your hands. But think about what you did, Andrea. You had them. You probably had them in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
Which is nice. Keeps your palms nice and warm. To be honest with you, we're not really concerned about frostbite in the palms.
Right.
We're more concerned about frostbite at the tips of the fingers.
Yeah. You know what, Amy Cochran got me, and this will tell you how old I am now, because I was excited about this. She got me a rechargeable hand warmer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That you can drop in your gloves, or you could, you know, just use whenever your hands are cold.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the technology that's out there, those are great because, Andrea, the one you had probably lasts about 20 minutes.
Exactly, yeah.
So if you're going to be out longer than that, you know, boy, did you keep a bunch of them. They come, what are they called, hot hands or something?
Hot hands, the little packets.
Yeah, whereas Steve's are rechargeable. They probably last a little bit longer, probably close to 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great gift.
And can be recharged and used again.
And again, Doc, how old am I? The two things I was most excited about this holiday season, I got a new recliner and I got a hand warmer. Huh? How about that? How old am I?
Ooh, get
and one last thing on this, frost nip, I'm pretty sure, I'd have to check, but frost nip was not a band I was in, but it is one of the names I used as a dancer. Yeah. All right, so moving on with this cold, the influenza virus, is still a threat, even for those of us, and in our case, we got our shots directly from you, to us. Does the cold increase your chances of getting the flu?
Well, it's interesting, you know, when we talk about getting our chances of increasing the flu, it's about socialization. It's about being exposed to somebody that actually has the flu. And it is rampant throughout the United States right now, which is really early and it's really coming on strong. So really this, the issue of, boy, does the cold impact it? Yeah, matter of fact, it probably decreases it a little bit. You know, I'm sure that not 100% of people who bought tickets to your show showed up, although it was packed.
Yeah.
But think about that. That's an exposure. You're socially around people, talking to them. But now when it's so cold, people are staying in. I don't know about you, but I didn't leave the house yesterday.
Right.
You know, so if I'm not going out to get exposed to somebody, it's actually going to protect me. And if I have influenza and I'm not going out, I'm not exposing anyone. So very cold temperature has nothing to do with the temperature, has more to do with our socialization and getting out around people to spread the disease.
So this is the one upside to this cold. Less flu is getting spread around.
The one good thing about it. Yep.
All right, so you got to minimize your time outside. We always hear 30 minutes is too long. 30 minutes is long enough. to have frostbite set in. But nobody wants to be outside for any period of time in this. So, you know, other than going from your car to your building where you work or wherever you have to go and back, what do you tell people who do have to be outside?
Yeah, probably the most important thing for them is going to be prevention. So if you know you're going to be outside for a long period of time, dress appropriately. And I can tell you, even those people who are getting ready to get in their car and say, I'm not going to be outside for long. You know, I'm going from a heated garage to a heated garage. I can assure you cars break down at this time of the year more often than others. So at least have stuff in your car. But the individuals who need to be outside, the vast majority of them are pretty smart and they already know. Police officers, construction workers, they pretty much know. But other people that are going to be outside for a while, whether you're going to go watch your kid play a hockey game outside or do something outside, dress appropriately. And probably one of the biggest things is don't wear a cotton base for your base layer. Don't wear a cotton t-shirt, although we all have cotton t-shirts. That's not a good idea at this time of the year for your base layer if you're going to be out. Cotton retains water. Water will hold closer to your skin and actually cools you down.
Wow. We come back. I want to find out what we do for frostbite, amongst other things, and also talk to you about, you know, what we need to be wearing, you know, because I don't know if you know, but I'm bald.
I was going to say, yeah, and you guys, men, you guys especially need to button your coats and wear hats, because how often do you... You know, zip your jacket and button your coats.
Yeah. You know what I got else for Christmas? Snow sneakers. You know what snow sneakers are?
No.
They're sneakers with boot treads.
Oh.
Yeah. So you're not slipping and falling all over the place. But Doc may tell me I'm not so smart there either. At 6:47, we'll come back and get more from Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We're talking about the cold and how to not harm yourself and just dealing with life now that everybody's going back to work today. All right, Doc, so snow sneakers.
Yeah.
Very comfortable and great in the slippery conditions and the snow, but sneakers, unless they're a certain type, bad idea?
Yeah, just regular sneakers. Bad idea at this time of the year. So what you have is snow sneakers, which are waterproof. They have a great grip and they're warm. So they're built to be in the snow, thus snow sneakers. Everybody else who says, you know what, I don't want to wear my dress shoes or my fancy shoes walking from the train to the office. I'm going to throw on my Nikes or whatever. Gym shoes are now built to breathe, so you don't retain heat. You don't retain the water can get in them. You know, they're not waterproof. So although you're thinking this is smart to walk gym shoes from the train to that, in this time of day, this time of the weather, wear snow sneakers or boots, something that's going to protect your feet, because nothing worse than cold, wet feet in this time of temperatures.
Doc, you talked before about don't wear cotton as your base layer. Always layer up, especially when we're reporting for the TV station. So what are our layers? In what order should we go? Because I just pile them on. Literally, I'll do a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a fleece, and then my other coat.
Yep. So probably the biggest thing, Andrea, is that base layer is don't make it cotton. Don't make it a cotton t-shirt. Get a polyester. You know, there's tons of golf companies that make them because people play golf in this kind of weather.
Like the silks are okay too?
Yeah, because that's going to wick away anything that's not going to hold moisture close to your skin. That next layer, a good wool sweater is great. You want a layer because air is going to get in between. In a wool sweater, not only is it warm, but it also allows air to get into the fibers as well and keep you warm. That next layer, it's good to have a windproof layer. It's going to hold heat in, and it's also going to protect you from any heat going on. So if you have those three basic layers and then a good down coat, not a fancy leather, thin leather coat that looks nice, something that's bulky with down in it if possible, or polyester down, you know, and something that's going to keep you warm, that's waterproof and windproof as well.
Doc, you know, I worry about how my hair looks. You know, it's a constant concern for me. That's one of the reasons that maybe I don't grab a hat when I should. But there's no excuse right now, no matter how great your hair looks or doesn't look.
Yeah, people should not be worried about how their hair looks right now, to be honest with you. A couple of reasons for that. One is, you remember your mom and everyone told you, oh, you lose all your heat through your head, so make sure you cover it. And that's kind of a little bit of old wives' tale. You certainly do lose a lot of heat through your head, but mainly because it was when they did the study, the rest of the body was covered, and that's where they showed all the heat being lost. But our ears are designed to hear, so they're cupped out. You know, people have ears that stick out a little bit. Well, there's a reason for that. It's so that we can hear people, we can hear sounds in front of us, we can hear sounds from the side. But from a design point of view, when you're in cold, it's terrible because now it can be surrounded by this cold air. So wearing a hat really, not only does it protect your head, which is somewhat important, but more importantly, it protects your ears, which has a bad blood supply and is getting exposed to more cold air than any other parts of your body.
There's tons of apps out there now about how to deal with the cold. Is it important to have, maybe on your Fitbit or one of these wearable devices to just be aware of the temperature? Because maybe you're not aware of it if you're doing some sort of outdoor activity.
Well, there's two things there, Stephen. One is, you know, especially this time of the year, people now want to go out and celebrate with friends. Hey, it's a new year. Let me go have a couple drinks. You know, our awareness actually goes down with alcohol use, believe it or not. So that and just knowing what the temperature is and knowing what your day is planned is. So I know I went to work this morning. It was 11 below in the car. I know I'll be here till 6 tonight. It's probably going to be below zero. So those two travel times, I want to make sure that I'm dressed appropriately and have everything I need in my car. So plan your day appropriately for what you're going to be out in.
I know Steve just mentioned some of these apps, Doc. One is called Sick Weather. It has a call doctor button, and somehow you can connect it's thermometer connectivity to connect with the Bluetooth. Are any of these decent or worth downloading?
Oh, no, they're all good. I mean, think about your phone. How often did you go on your phone the last couple of days just to see how cold it was? So any of these that are going to remind you about what the temperature is and say, hey, you know, you are in a dangerous situation right now, those are all great. And the Fitbit, again, is going to tell you to get up and move. And movement is going to be one thing that's going to help you retain body heat. You know, people that get hypothermia, that's because they stop moving and they are essentially an ice block.
Talk about hypothermia for a second. What is it and how do you know you're on the verge?
Well, hypothermia is when your body temperature, your core body temperature, gets way too low. And what happens there, our body is brilliant. It's trying to protect everything it can with the vital organs.
Our body's a wonderland.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So it's going to protect your brain. It's going to protect your heart. It's going to protect your kidneys. When it does that, it's trying to keep all that core blood inside. So it decreases the amount of blood flow out to your extremities. But with hypothermia, it gets to a point where that is not even working, and your core body temperature drops so much that you start to have organ failure. You're not maintaining a heat. And what happens often is you're not going to get enough blood flow to your brain, so you're going to start to get confused. You're going to start. You will feel cold initially, but then you can have a sensation of warmth, which is bad because you're not. And the important thing there is if you find somebody that's unconscious and in weather like this, get them in as quickly as possible to warm them up. Put warm packs, put things underneath their armpits, in their groin, things that are going to help warm them. And if they have wet clothing, get that wet clothing off and get dry clothing on top of them.
I remember you talking in the past about if you feel like you've had frostnip or frostbite, you got to have someone with you before you run in the house and throw your hands under hot water because you don't know what the temperature is and you can actually make it worse. Talk about that, too.
Yeah. You know, one of the first things, if you think about it, when you walk in the house and it's cold outside, what's the first thing you do?
Try to warm up your hands.
Yeah, people rub their hands together,
yep.
Right? And it's the worst thing you can do if there's a possibility that you had frostbite, because that friction there is going to cause damage to the cells. So what you want to do is you want to run those hands under lukewarm water or warm water. But what you really want to do is you want to make sure someone else tests the water, because you put hands that are numb under hot water, you can do more damage. Now, if you're the only one and you're by yourself, use your elbow to test the temperature of the water before you do that. You want to soak your feet in warm water, again, making sure that it's safe for you. The things you don't want to do, don't go turn the burner on the stove. Don't go open the oven and try to warm your hands like that. Stay away from the fireplace because your hands are damaged already, and you don't want to burn that skin on top of damaged cells.
The one thing you can't really protect, no matter how good your layers are, seems to be your eyes. And a pair of sunglasses isn't necessarily going to get it done. You know, you go outside, your eyes water. 312 Texas said, I went up for 10 minutes yesterday. My eyes felt like they were literally freezing. What do you do about that?
Yeah, so one thing you can is definitely to wear sunglasses for a couple of reasons there. One is how bright the sun is at this time of the year. You can actually do damage because you get reflection off the snow as well. So anything that you're going to do to protect them. If you're going to be out for a while and you know it, most of the people you'll start to see, they're wearing ski goggles because what that does is it closes tightly to their face and essentially, you know, keeps warm air in there. Covering your face as much as you possibly can is important, and wiping tears away because tears are water, obviously, and they're going to cause crystals, and you don't want that to have frozen water on your skin as well, which is going to make things even colder. Those are probably the biggest things for your eyes.
I actually thought about it, but your face could freeze. You're crying down the side of your face, your eyes are watering, and it freezes up on you.
Yep.
It's just lovely. Last texter, 630, at comment, our base layer has to be a cotton t-shirt due to FR layers. I don't know what FR layers are. Any suggestions on how to wear a cotton t-shirt if you have to wear it for work? Could you wear the man-made material underneath your cotton t-shirt?
Well, absolutely. I'm not sure what the caller is talking about because, you know, if you need to have a certain color, they make them in every single color. You know, you can wear white ones that are polyester. You can wear white ones. So I'm not sure. FR, and let's just say fire resistant, but cotton is really not fire resistant. I'm sure you can find a fire resistant layer that is made up of a synthetic.
Okay. That's what Google's for, right?
Yeah.
Nice talking to you, Doc. Thanks for all the information.
Good talking to you. Hey, and mittens over gloves, you guys.
Yeah. You and your mittens. Yeah. I know you're right. It's just funny to hear you talk about it. Dr. Kevin Mullis, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
See you later. And to you.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
New Year's Eve, we ran a video clip of Hamp wishing us Happy New Year and a Fox-free 2018. Well, big fella, you got your wish. Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, Happy New Year, and let the manhunt begin. We, you know, the three-year root canal is now over. Let us see exactly what the collaboration will present. All I know is, the Bears have been playing a long time. They've been doing this a long, long time. John Fox, no coach has ever had 10 loss seasons in a row. So it was time, and here we go. Let's put the glasses on, start doing our homework, and find the best person to lead this team to the new year.
Who's on your short list?
You know, and the more I think about it, the more I'm lamenting the fact that they botched the handling of Vic Fangio. And I know that a lot of people don't want to hear, Vic Fangio. He's not the sexy young hotshot offensive coordinator. But I kind of hate the fact that he's not going to be a part of what happens in the future. But I will tell you, there's, the names that everybody keeps throwing out, I'm not crazy about. But at some point, we identified the other day how just dumb play after dumb play after dumb decision after being unprepared and, somebody that has a real progressive idea about how to attack people in the game of pro football. Again, OB says it week after week. They go out year after year and change the rules for one thing, to make it easier for you to throw the ball down the field. And yet we just seem to refuse to do it at all costs. So John DeFilippo is the quarterback coach in Philadelphia. John Reich is the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Either one of those, I'd be happy with because they realize, it's important in the tutelage and grooming of a young quarterback to make that a big part of what, they need to be aggressive and not be fearful of, making things happen down the field because sooner or later, you know, it's all going to, you know, you got to step up and make it happen. So the sooner you embrace that, the better.
And obviously their lessons hit home with a young quarterback in Philadelphia. But you mentioned Fangio. The guy in Carolina, Wilkes, is also a defensive coach. How important, right, Hamp, do you believe it is that the Bears do bring in either an offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach or an offensive guru type to be the head coach here and develop Mitch Trubisky?
Well, obviously, you know, since Ditka, it's been all defense except for Trestman. We know how that worked out. So I don't think there's a right or wrong way. But, you know, again, yeah, at the NFL, it's a league of imitation. And when somebody does something really well, then everybody says, that's the new way. Let's do that. So that's, you know, with the Philadelphia and Los Angeles Rams success this year, that is the prototype. So, but Steve Wilkes, who's the genius that put his name on the list? They run a 4-3. We don't have people to play 4-3. So that, you know, that's like, you know, put me in charge of the water department. It just, that don't make no sense. And
by the way, speaking of that, there's a lot of people who are texting in, why can't Hamp take the job? Make Hamp take the job. Let's have Hamp take the job. I think because of the lack of assertiveness in the young players of today, I believe Hamp would kill all 55 on the roster prior to camp closure.
You don't mean in charge of the water department, though. Of course, you should specify that. Because no, I think you'd be great at the water department.
Just talking about Hamp's level of care, concern, and love of the game, and pride and respect for the game. I believe the roster would have no one left. Stand by. More with him in a second. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. First at 7:18. Back with the Hall of Famer Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We got some texters wondering about Fangio. We saw rumors that Fangio would end up with the Packers when Dom Capers went away. What's your knowledge of that whole story?
Well, there's a lot more to that than I wish. I will tell you this. When you look at, you know, a 3-4 defense, and for a lot of folks that don't really know, I mean, you know, you need good players everywhere, but especially at the linebacker position. And four out of the five starting linebackers for the Bears, who basically were out most of the year, and yet this defense of Vic Fangio, through hook and crook, still finished close to the top 10, which is an amazing, you know, accomplishment when you lose those players like Willie Young and Leonard Floyd and Jarrell Freeman, and just go down the list. But anyway, you know, I'd hate to think you got to match up and block his defense twice a year. But, you know, again, be careful what, you know, you wish for or hope for, because, you know, Vic Fangio, in my mind, deserved consideration. He deserved to be placed as the interim coach 6-7 weeks ago after, you know, we lose to the Packers here at home, and we didn't do it. Well, guess what? Now it's going to come back and bite us, it looks like.
What do you think of Pat Shurmur?
Look, I was not impressed. I understand the Vikings kind of were going through the motions. They're in the playoffs. They only had to kind of preserve a home field advantage kind of thing, and they expected to win. I didn't see a lot of things that made me go, wow, that's amazing. But right, let me just tell you this. Their offense with essentially their third-string pickup in Case Keenum, he wasn't there last year. He was in L.A. And they had Teddy and Sam Bradford. Well, they got rid of a Hall of Fame running back because they drafted Dalvin Cook. He gets hurt. And now they're patching it together with McKinnon and the other guy. Hey, that offense has more drives, 4 touchdowns, that started inside their own 20 than anybody else in the league. So what does that tell me? He's doing a hell of a job of putting a game plan together. And that's what drove me crazy about what the Bears, you know, were so unable to do with Mitchell Trubisky. When you've got a young player and he's not able to respond to a lot of different blitzes and different coverage looks and all that, you need a really good game plan. and you say, this is what we're going to do. No matter what happens, if lightning strikes the stadium, you stay on schedule. We never really showed up with a game plan except two games. It was the home game against Detroit. We got a 10-point lead. And then when we went to Cincinnati against their decimated defense, we really had a great plan and stayed on schedule. And we scored four touchdowns, first time in, 100 years. So I would be okay with because of this what would you call it, this history of being able to take what you have and maximize it and give them a plan to attack defenses and a plan to win. They won 13 games. That's hard to do. You know, I was on a team when I think we won 13 only twice. Right? I mean, that's pretty special.
It's a big deal, yeah.
I know that Bears fans, Hamp, are going to say the day that John Gruden is introduced as the new coach of the Oakland Raiders, why didn't we get that guy? But every situation is different, and you also have to have a candidate who wants to be here, and that's a specific job that apparently they've been courting him and he wants. That said, is this, if you are Josh McDaniels or Shurmur or John DeFilippo, do you want to be the coach of this team? Do you think you can come here and win?
The big question is, will these young wannabe coaches demand control of the 55-man roster? And yesterday, Ryan Pace reiterated, I will not release or relinquish control of the roster. So a guy like Josh McDaniels, he's got Bill Belichick right there telling him, hey, if you don't have control of the roster, you are not in a position to control your destiny. I'm sure John Gruden has been given it in Oakland. I'm sure that Josh McDaniels would want it.
How many coaches have it, though?
Pardon me?
How many coaches have it in the league?
I'm not really sure. I would say maybe a dozen. Okay. Guys like Pete Carroll,
yep.
Belichick. I don't think Zimmer has it in Minnesota. It's almost like you have to have a certain longevity and track record success. That then you are given it. But again, Gruden had a history with Oakland. He was there for a while. He knows the owner imminently. And so I'm sure that was, something that was easily, offered. But McKenzie, the general manager there, all of these things, everybody wants, to stake their claim to there's a certain level of influence. And we heard yesterday that even though Ryan Pace is going to be the one, he still has to have a so-called agreement and collaboration with Ted Phillips and George McKeskey. So, here we are. We, we're playing checkers. Maybe some other teams are playing triple chess, and we'll see how it all works out.
Last word from Hamp here. As much as we enjoy you and OB and Cuz screaming about a bad Bears team, we'd much rather have you screaming about a good Bears team. Okay. We've seen these teams in the NFL, including the Eagles this year, turn it around in one calendar year, in one season. A healthy roster with a new coach, are they good enough to do it next year, even though they've still got a really tough schedule, as it looks right now?
Absolutely. And you go back through this year of madness and how we started the season off and we botched game after game and decision after decision leads us to losses instead of victories. Yes, this is doable. And let me just say this, happy 2018 to each and all, but I'll tell you this, the top five teams in the NFC that are in the playoffs today were not in it a year ago. So not only is it possible, we better set that as our level of success for next year. I'm not saying you're going to win the Super Bowl next year, but hey, let's make the playoffs. It's time.
Well said, and the fans deserve it. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Dan Hampton, brought to you by Chevy Drive.
I think he was going to say go Bears.
.com. Well, let's assume he did. Let's take a break, come back, get to Big Story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
But you were supposed to get me a refund.
You can't get a refund. Your warranty expired 2 years ago.
So we're going to make the post office pay for my new stereo now?
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
I'm one of those people that paid my property taxes before New Year's Eve. And here we sit in the blue state not knowing if it's going to count. Thanks, federal government. You're swell. Louis Sands is here. Louis has helped us many times on tax issues. Name of your company, Louis is?
Sickich.
And nice to see you.
How are you?
Happy New Year
to everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Let's start with the property tax thing before we get to the tax bill in general. We don't know.
We don't. But one thing, just to glass half full, you would not have gotten a deduction for it if you didn't pay it. So
you know,
it's kind of like a lottery ticket. You can't win it if you're not in it.
And you got to pay them anyway.
You're going to have to pay them anyway. I would suggest that if you live in, you know, a county, Cook, DuPage, most of the counties in northern Illinois where your taxes are in arrears, it's been assessed. If you paid it before year end, you're probably going to be able to put it on your tax return, and then you're just wondering whether or not it you get any real benefit if you're not in alternative minimum tax, et cetera.
What I don't understand is how – look, I understand that Congress shoved this down our throats as a last-minute political win. Mm-hmm. Again, policy and politics are two different things. This is politics, not policy. Having said that, there should be some benefit to most people, at least in the first year, maybe beyond. We don't know if that's going to offset the penalty of not being able to make this deduction because the math hasn't been done yet. But you had not just a thousand. You may have had millions of people who prepaid their property taxes. So this is absolutely subject to a court challenge if the IRS decided, as they apparently did, a couple of days before New Year's Eve, maybe it won't count. After people stood in line and people, you know, rejiggered their finances to make this payment. So this has got to go to court, I would think.
I would think so, because it's not small amounts. And you know, you mentioned the speed that this went through. I think the last time we had major tax reform back in 1986, they had 53 weeks of hearings. And I'm not suggesting that that's the right number, but somewhere between the 8 weeks of this time and 53 weeks.
Right.
So it's not whether or not there are mistakes. It's what they are. And you mentioned the real estate tax, and that's a great one. But even prior to that, if you recall, people were paying their state tax. And then the IRS came back and said, no, you can't pay your 2018 taxes in 2017. So then people were just paying their real estate tax. And then we got into the situation we're in now. So
one of the other suggestions is employer side payroll taxes, where essentially the state taxes would be done by your employer at that point, and you're going to pay for them anyway, but you're not going to pay for them in the same way. It'll be a way to game the IRS system.
Game is the wrong word, because when you're sitting in a situation where everything is so stacked against you as the individual, there's nothing patriotic in overpaying your taxes. It's prudence, and tax evasion is a crime, but doing everything that you can within the current rules is absolutely something that you should do. And by as a matter of course, doing nothing by default except for what, you know, just paying what you're is a great way to pay the most tax possible.
Here's the thing that's so frustrating about this, because you've got people who are doing fine, maybe doing well, and they're in a better position to have a fine accountant like yourself or a tax preparer in general handle some of this stuff. It's not supposed to punish the middle class. You know, if somebody's reached a point where they're doing deductions to either handle their small business or whatever, this is the last headache they need, where they've not got to figure out how to fight the IRS.
Well, we've never been more popular ever.
I bet.
On something like this, because everybody selfishly, and I don't mean that in a bad way, wants to know, how does this impact me? What can I do? Not necessarily just before year end, but all right, now how is it going to impact me? And you make a good point, because the people that are paying very little tax are going to see some benefit, and the people that are making a lot of money are going to see some obvious benefit. But it's that 90% of the people in between, where it's entirely possible where, you know, lower tax rates on a higher number with less deductions might mean you're paying more tax. And every situation, you hate to, you know, sidestep the question, every situation is a little bit different.
It is.
Yeah. Right. And you know, one of the things that we say, you know, now that, you know, midnight has struck, we're in 2018 now, so 2017, to the extent possible, you know, I always relate it to people going to the dentist. They just don't want to talk to their tech. But you've got taxes and you've got, you know, your income on your mind right now. This is a great time, if ever there was a time, to do your taxes early and just see where you're at. Are you in? Then you'll know how this is going to impact you. You don't know, if you don't know what your tax rate is, you don't know whether your rate went up or down. If you don't know if you're in AMT, you don't know how bad this is going to hurt you. So to the extent possible, you'd want to get your information and get your information to your tax preparer as soon as possible, just to try and see, all right, where am I going to be? And you know, a lot of people like to get refunds. It's a great time, you know, perish the thought, to maybe leave a little bit extra in there and apply it to next year, because you just don't know. But it's entirely possible you could owe more tax. And even if you owe less, your withholding is going to be all screwed up this year. You know, that form you fill out right when you start a job, proving you're a citizen, and then there's the W-4 where you're putting some number. If it's any number besides zero, that form is now obsolete. So you're probably not getting enough taxes withheld yet, and that's not your employer's fault either, because the tax tables haven't even been released yet.
So if you itemize with this new bill as it is right now, is there a limit as to what can be deducted? I know we talked about charity at one point. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a limit when we start filing and preparing right now with this new bill? Mm-hmm. What's going to be limited?
Well, not charity. Charity actually is charitable deductions are still there, and you can actually deduct up to 60% of your income on that. That's one of the major deductions that survived. The real question is whether or not a lot of people are going to want to make charitable contributions, and that's because a lot of your other itemized deductions are limited, and that you're going to pay either the itemized deductions or the standard deductions, whichever is higher, is what you're going to deduct on your income tax return.
What are some of the ones that are limited?
Your state and local taxes that we were talking about.
Right.
So, Illinois tax is now 4.95%, by the way. So that, plus your real estate tax, plus your, is limited to $10,000. So if you make $200,000, you're already there, effectively. So if you own a home, you're going to be foregoing some of your deductions. In addition, all miscellaneous itemized deductions are gone. And what does that mean? That means your tax preparer fees, for example, your investment expense, your unreimbursed job expenses, all those things are gone. So, you know, one of the words we keep hearing is simplicity. And I mean, simple doesn't mean better, because simple means, you know, you don't have to worry about keeping all those receipts anymore. Well, that's because you're not getting the deduction anymore.
Well, the other thing, too, that you said, and we'll come back after traffic and talk more with Lewis Sands here, but the thing that really stands out is the fact that we don't know what the tax tables are yet. You talk about the ass before the front of the horse here, because you've jammed this law down people's throats, and hopefully there's an ultimate benefit here. But since we don't know, how could you do the law and not even have the math done on the tax table?
Well, the actual numbers and the thresholds are set. What's not done is the actual...
Well, the gaps aren't there.
The gap, yeah, exactly. And realistically, you've just got to do your best and you know, try and be as prepared as you can. And you know, one of the things you can do right now is go and you watch your paychecks and just see, is the withholding going up or going down, because it needs to be going up, and then see just what's going to be impacted from 2017 to 2018.
And for people who are living paycheck to paycheck, you would hope those in that position are going to get a benefit additionally.
Yes, but the problem with that is let's say you had to pay $10,000 last year, and you're one of these people that's going to only pay $9,000 this year. So in net-net, you ended up. But if you didn't have enough tax withheld, and you only had five withheld for the year, and you owe four in April, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, even though it's less tax in aggregate, you don't have maybe the cash on hand to pay for that, and then you're going to have penalties and interest as a result of just not knowing.
Thanks, Congress. Stand by. We'll do more in just a second at 312-981-7200 for texters. Talking your money, and if you have any left, thanks, Congress. We need tax plan in effect. January 2nd. How much money are you going to have in 2018? Lewis Sands is here. Sikich is the company. Sikich what?
Sikich LLP. We're headquartered out of Naperville, professional services firm, 21 offices nationwide. And just put in a plug, speaking about the taxes, we have a webinar that we're going to be doing later this month to try to navigate people through that, and have a whole section of our website that tells you literally more than you ever wanted to know about it. So if you're of the ilk that wants to do a deep dive into all of that, you know, check out the website, Sikich.com, and you'll leave with a cure for insomnia, but you'll also be much more informed. So,
all right, let's go through some of these questions from listeners. Truck drivers get a daily per diem. A lot of people get daily per diems. Is that a tax impact?
No, because the daily per diem is something that the employer provides for them, you know, 20 whatever breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe a miscellaneous that the employer takes a deduction for that they don't have to pick up as income. That's there's no difference there.
How about people that are on public aid? That's another question.
Well, public aid as a general rule is not going to be taxed or not taxed, but just painting with a very broad brush, if you're on public aid, perhaps you're at the lower end of the income spectrum. So if you've got as a general rule, they're probably not itemizing either. And so the doubling of the standard deduction along with refundable portions for child tax credits, there's a lot more income that your people at the bottom spectrum of the tax tables are going to have before they have to start paying tax. So that's good news.
Social Security and pension benefits of income, how are they going to be affected?
Not at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Social Security taxed the same then. How about exemptions for being over 65, including disabilities?
Well, the thing is, your personal everybody on the tax return gets a personal exemption. And then if you're over 65 or if you're blind, there's typically a box that you can check where you get additional exemption. The personal exemption by definition is gone, so a little bit extra on top of that's gone as well. So you're being older and getting a little extra of nothing is effectively what.
So what was that? $4,000 the personal exemption?
$4,100.
So $4,100 goes away. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, it's an easy headline to say that we're all going to receive benefits. There's a lot of math that has to be done here, which goes to your point of getting your taxes done early. With the personal exemption going away, that's a hit for everybody.
It's a hit for everybody, but the idea, and again, there are so many moving parts where it's a zero-sum game. Think of it that way. So if you just happen to be on a side where you had something given but something taken away, maybe you make out if you had something given and not taken away, then you're up. And if you had something taken away but not given, then you're actually going to be paying more. A perfect example is a family with three kids. You're losing five personal exemptions. They're going to double the standard deduction. So you pick up $12,000. You lose $20,000 of deductions. Then you get some earned income. So there's about four or five different moving credits. And then it depends on how much you make, whether or not your rate's going to change. So there are benefits for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But there's also corresponding reductions that may or may not apply to different people.
We're not
going to
see accountant surge pricing like Uber now, since you guys are more needed than ever.
No, but we can't deduct their fee anymore.
Right. Well, that's right. It's not deductible anyhow.
Right. So. What about these? Not that we were the recipients of any of these, but some of these companies who did benefit from the new tax bill, Boeing and the like, are giving their employees bonuses. Do they have to claim that, or is that?
Well, if they're giving them bonuses, it's compensation.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, it's a good problem to have. If you have extra income, it's even at a 90% tax rate, you'll take money if you still save some, but Boeing gets to deduct that.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously, it's a compensation.
Well, again, that's the whole headline. AT&T got credit for announcing bonuses on day one. They then laid off a whole chunk of people a week later.
Well, and again, you're not speaking to any particular company, but nobody's doing anything out of altruism. Typically, you know, right. if you're going to do something, there's benefit. I mean, they're a for-profit entity typically, so they're not going to want to go overboard, at their own detriment.
Risk, sure.
IRAs and 401ks and things that you can still do up until April 15th, what's the impact and effect or change in behavior here?
Well, the good news is there was a lot of discussion about IRAs and 401ks and 529 plans and all these things that, were possibly going to go away. The good news is there has been no change to, what you can and can't do with 401ks. In fact, 529 plans, which is kind of like a 401k plan for education, you can put money away, tax deferred, and use it to pay for college, typically second post-secondary education. Starting, yesterday, you can actually use your 529 plans to pay for K through 12 school as well, public, private school. It's not necessarily what it was intended for, to set it aside and let it grow and use it for college, but it's still pre-tax dollars on the state of Illinois. So you can use that for example, parochial schools and things like that that have some cost. There's some benefit now that wasn't there in the past. So
the 529, can you still contribute to that through April 15th?
No, 529 plan is at 12/31.
Yeah, so that's gone, but the 401k or the IRA, that's that right. Door is still open.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, look, it's a lot to navigate through, and it sounds like your end of the business still has to figure it out as well.
That's, and that's the key, is I mentioned earlier about, what loopholes are there, and there are some, and it's incumbent upon us to find those and whatnot. And one of the other issues that we haven't talked about yet is this whole insurance mandate is now gone. So, I mean, people are touting that as great, but it's expected maybe 13 million people that don't want insurance now don't have to have it starting in 2019, by the way. And the problem with that is that who in their right mind gives up insurance if they're ill? It's going to be younger, healthier people for the most part. Right. So then those of us that need to have insurance, you can expect the premiums to rise on that going forward too. The good news is medical expenses, we're talked about getting rid of that deduction. They're still deductible, and they actually lowered the threshold to 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Not great, but at least it's not gone.
There you go. There's a little bit of positive.
Well, I mean, the unfortunate thing is the people that make the most are going to get a little more or be able to take the hit, certainly, much more so than the people that are in the middle.
Well, that's right. And you just think about, you know, even 39.6 was the top individual tax rate, and now it's down to 37. You know, it's 2%, but 2% of a large number can be a very, very large number. And corporate dividends and capital gains, that's still the same. So, you know, there's still a very low tax rate. The AMT, the adjusted minimum tax, that hits a lot of the middle class, the thresholds for that are up by about 30%, which means a lot less people are going to be in it, which is good news. It was originally intended for, I think, 150 taxpayers, and millions of people pay it. So, you know, they've kind of been working to try to get that back where it was intended to be. So it's not all gloom and doom. It's just hard to say who's the winners and who's the losers on this. There are both. And that's something to take away from this.
Any idea when your seminar will be, just later in the month?
I believe it's January 18th.
Okay. And sickitch.com. It's a great way to dive in. And as you said, either doze off or learn more.
Or both.
Sikich. Lewis Hens, I always appreciate your information. It's good. And it's understandable. And if I understand it, the rest of the audience certainly does.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
And happy New Year, Dean Richards.
And if you'd like to get tickets to Steve's New Year's Eve show, just go to eventbrite.com.
Hey, thanks for the plug. We had a big house.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I bet it was a lot of fun.
We had a great time. And
I like to pretend like I wasn't there. I don't want it to go to Steve's head that I snuck in.
No.
That I was
no.
in the back.
Your tradition of not showing up to support me is still on.
I'm not a big go out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, whatever. So what did you do? Just sit around?
I was at a very small dinner party with some friends. And, you know, when you have entertainment like Janet Davies making out with Mark Giangreco, do you really, aside from Steve's show, do you need anything else? Really?
I don't know how to do it better, so I'm reluctant to, poke fun at it. But you got to poke fun at it. It's awful TV.
That's my whole roundup of New Year's Eve.
Every show,
television,
national, local, they're all terrible.
So bad that it's fantastic. Really, the only one that was completely lame. Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, who was the replacement for Kathy Griffin after her Donald Trump decapitated head incident, was awful. Was just absolutely awful. So I don't expect that to be happening again.
No, because what it was a couple of best friends doing a bunch of inside giggling.
Yeah.
It
wasn't funny.
Random drunks on the street. And by the way, we're done with Jenny McCarthy too, aren't we?
Oh my God. Ryan Seacrest and Jenny McCarthy, that could be the worst thing I've ever seen. And I watched it last year, too.
No, I mean, I just think it's time. But again, I don't know how you make it better, because what are the common components? Drunks on the street or drunks in a ballroom?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. It's people who are drunk going, woo!
Right.
Exactly.
Woo! Look at me, I'm wearing funny 2018 glasses.
Right.
Woo!
You know, and even the sweetness of a marriage proposal can get ruined because there's people in the background wooing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a local one, too, as part of that Janet Davies, Mark Giangreco. And I thought she...
A proposal.
I thought she was going to say no. He proposed, and they were both so drunk, she just kind of looked over and fell into him. And I thought, oh, God, sweet. Did she say yes?
What a sweet memory if they have kids someday.
Now, we haven't actually done a blood test on either of them if their attorneys happen to be listening.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we didn't name them, so we can say they're drunk.
I'm out of this. I do my best to not get in any legal trouble.
I was at Downers Grove. I'm out of it as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Allegedly.
Yeah.
How about that?
Allegedly. But that was the least of the problems.
Right.
Gian Greco has been a pal of mine forever. He's a very good friend.
And Janet's a
and
a
Janet's
friend of
a
mine.
Wonderful woman, yeah, and wonderful. She's been a friend for years. Mm-hmm. We just want you guys to be able to stay home on New Year's Eve because there's nothing you can do to control the masses at
that,
this point.
That said, they had the number one ratings on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a tradition, right? It's been there forever.
They beat everybody. I think part of it is tradition, and when you have, you know, the rest of the crack ABC 7 team at different locations, mm-hmm. Also showing pictures of drunk people going, "Woo!" Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could
do that. How do you not win with something like that?
Maybe they do it in a studio with virtual reality drunks that were scripted and put in various places when you need them.
Maybe it's time for a digital age of that sort of thing. But that said, on NBC, you had Steve Harvey, mm-hmm. Who was...
He's not getting enough work. Thank God he got work on New
Year's Eve. Right. I'm glad to start the year off with getting a little cash in his pocket.
Right.
He brought in the new year, and he officiated the wedding of Maria Menounos.
Menounos. How's a Greek get that wrong?
Menounos.
We get a lot of hard names.
These Greek names get very difficult for me.
But yeah, she's been together 20 years with that dude, right?
Yes. They have been together for a long time. So
step up, man.
I'm glad they decided to finally make that legal. And you're talking about the Ryan Seacrest, Dick Clark, whatever it's called, rockin' New Year's Eve.
Right.
One of the, I guess, highlights of the show is that Mariah Carey was back on after her big lip-sync debacle from last year.
Right.
And the singing went just fine, but was not without some kind of drama. And she stops the show and is saying that she wants some tea. Can someone give me some tea? I'd like some tea. And nobody brought her tea. She finished the show, and I would want tea also if I was singing.
Right, but not in the middle of your song.
Sub-zero temperatures, right. I mean, it was cold. I definitely could understand that.
She should have sang the request.
I would like some tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And hit one of those Mariah Carey high notes that she's so famous for. But that was, you know, that's the big roundup. I think I said that Steve Harvey was on NBC. He was actually on Fox.
And
that was the big Fox show. But on NBC, they had a couple of local DJs hosting their
Channel 5?
New Year's celebration. Yeah.
Who were the DJs?
It was Fred. I don't know his.
Oh yeah, no, he's
from Kiss.
I don't know him. I hear he's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy. He's been here at WGN a couple of times, and somebody from V103, whose name escapes me right now. But that's a cavalcade of fun right there. Just watching the the attempts of trying to bring in the new year.
How are Steve and Johnny's New Year's extravaganza?
I did not. I heard a little bit of it. Ronnie Rice, our old pal, Ronnie Rice from the New Colony 6, mm-hmm. Is an amazing singer, and he rocked the joint, and they had a whole collection of their friends in singing and
that's nice.
Performing. So
it's, plus, it keeps Steve and Johnny off the street.
That's right. Yeah. And out of a ballroom going, woo-hoo!
Texter says, you guys are cranky. We like watching how weird the Cohen-Anderson-Cooper thing was. You're misunderstanding what we're saying. We're not saying it's not a train wreck worth watching. We're saying it's really bad TV.
It was awful. I don't even think the Anderson-Cooper-Andy Cohen thing didn't even qualify for so bad it was great to watch. I just thought it was, like, so boring. And
it was uncomfortable.
As you said, it was very inside. It was like... Yeah. Two friends who, it just wasn't...
Hey, remember that time we were in Rio?
Yeah, and it was a lot of that. Remember when we went on that cruise to Tahiti? Oh, yeah, everyone can relate to that.
Yeah.
Who can't relate to going on a weekend getaway to Tahiti?
So, but of all the train wrecks, I still would go with Gian Greco's train wreck.
I would, too.
It's great TV.
And Hosea Sanders. I was concerned about Hosea Sanders being electrocuted by his coat.
Oh, how about that? Yeah.
I mean, how many lights did that thing have?
He actually had the most rockin' party, the sorority party down in Orland Park.
That's funny.
That background was the best, I thought.
Did have a very metallic-y coat.
Coat was something else.
The Windy City Live people were...
Did he do it? Did he walk on a Game of Thrones or something? Is that where that coat came from?
You can also slay a dragon in a jacket like that.
Yeah. Hoda Kotb is in the news. Also, Lord and Dean's Top 10 Movies of 2017. See if you know what number one is. We'll come back and talk more with Dean in just a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard and
entertainment editor, Channel 972.
All right, 822. Back to Dean.
Remember, you can get tickets to Steve's New Year's Eve show by going to eventbrite.com. Don't wait. A few tickets are still available.
Yeah, come out and sit in the theater. It's really comfortable. I felt badly that we had a long line, and I felt badly that some people were outside in the cold, but we got them through as fast as we possibly could. And, you know, as part of that deal was Bennett. Bennett helped us out with ticket processing. And the proteges of Bennett, Bennett's peeps.
Producer Bennett?
Yeah, exactly.
Producer Bennett.
And speaking of producing.
Tallest producer in Chicago.
Exactly. John DeCoste and Tim Benker produced up the show and did a great job. So we had a lot of fun.
How was Mike Toomey?
Not good. No, he was great. He's always great.
I meant health-wise because he is allegedly calling in sick today on the WGN morning
I think
news.
He stretched a little thin. I mean, you know, we weren't out of there until 9:15, and then he had to come back and work in the morning.
That's crazy.
Somebody texted in Lisa McClowry was great. I love Lisa McClowry. She used to come on the show with some regularity.
She was on the Steve and John. She was part of the entertainment on the Steve and Johnny New Year's Eve show.
And if you gone to the Redhead Piano Bar ever, she's semi-regular there. I don't know if she still works there. But really, really, really great singer. Really entertaining. Beautiful. Fun. So, hi to Lisa. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Redhead?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's now heading to Australia, according to what she was talking to Steve and Johnny.
What, are you stalking her?
Huh? No, I was working.
She just left her house 10 minutes ago.
I've got a tracker on her.
On an Uber.
Well, that's a good trip. Well, good for her. All right, so we talked about New Year's Eve TV. Let's talk about morning TV. Hoda Kotb is the new...
Just announced is going to be the permanent replacement for Matt Lauer, who was fired about a month ago for alleged inappropriate sexual behavior.
So forcible diddling, I think, is the charge.
That's the legal term. I try to keep it a little more street. Mm-hmm. Hoda will join Savannah Guthrie for the first 2 hours of the Today Show.
Now, the great concern America has is good for Hoda, but will she still be able to get smashed drunk on a regular basis with Kathy Lee? So what do we know?
That's what I was wondering. I don't know what the alcohol content level is going to be for the first 2 hours of the Today Show, but she still will be hosting the fourth hour of the Today Show.
So she'll still be
Kathy
drinking
Lee.
It up.
So whether she gets drunk early or just waits and you know until she gets together with Kathy Lee later on in the show is, you know, that's the big question.
I mean, good for her. Hoda's great. I sort of, well, more than sort of, I really thought Willie Geist was going to get that gig.
Hmm. Really? Really?
Yeah, I like Willie a lot.
Okay.
You don't like Willie? What's wrong with Willie?
I'm not familiar with any of the players. My television only gets Channel 9 in the morning.
So you thought Larry was going to get it?
Not for sure. Paul Conrad was going to be named permanent host of the Today Show.
Here's how it would have worked if Paul Conrad was offered the Today Show co-hosting gig. He'd go, nah. Yeah, that'd pretty much be it. There's a new anti-sexual harassment group that's formed in Hollywood. Tell me.
There is a group that's been formed by 300 women, very powerful women in Hollywood, including Meryl Streep, among others, Shonda Rhimes, among others, Reese Witherspoon. This is an initiative to fight harassment. They will be concentrating on women who are in, you know, sort of everyday jobs. Not the they're going to be concerned about higher-ups and executives. But ask anyone, and they will tell you, ask any woman in particular, in whatever kind of job that they have, that sexual harassment takes place all the time. And just because it's not a movie star who's doing it or a powerful Hollywood executive or business executive, this organization is going to be an advocacy group for women of all levels, backing them up, protecting them, providing a legal defense fund for them, and fighting against companies that do nothing when sexual harassment is taking place.
The Golden Globes and the SAG Awards are coming up. Do I have this right? The women are all going to wear black dresses?
That's what I heard. I heard for the Golden Globes. I hadn't heard for SAG Awards, but that's possible. But the Golden Globes, which, by the way, are this coming Sunday, we'll find out if that's going to be the case for women making a protest about it. But, you know, some women who are part of the original Me Too movement are saying that it's just a cosmetic gesture, and they're mad about that. They don't think that it's a good thing to do to wear black.
I think it's a great idea.
I do too.
I hope they do it.
What's the Lord story?
Lord, a rabbi in New Jersey took out a full-page ad in the Washington Post calling Lord an anti-Semite and a bigot.
What's that about?
Because last week she announced that she was canceling a concert in Tel Aviv. It's coming June because of a boycott movement, a boycott, divestment, sanctions movement against the state of Israel. It has to do with the naming of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the United States' recognition of that. So there's a movement afoot, and Lord decided to cancel her concert as a result of that. So
how does that make her a bigot?
This rabbi says that she's a bigot for doing that, and also, on top of that, a hypocrite because she has not canceled shows in Russia that has far greater violations. That if Lord is serious about violations, then she should be more concerned, or at least as concerned, with Russia as she is with Israel.
I don't understand the over the top. Am I misreading it?
I don't completely understand it myself, but that's you take out a full page ad on the Washington Post.
Yeah, it's expensive.
You mean business. Obviously feel strongly about it.
Do you like Lord? I like Lord.
I enjoy the Lord.
Yeah, very much.
Yep. Can never be royals. Royals.
I did like Lord until just like 5 seconds ago.
Top 10 movies for 2017 before we put that year to bed. Number 10 is
Beauty and the Beast. I love this movie. I don't think it's on anyone's top 10 list except mine, which I'm a little bit proud of. I thought it was just one of the most beautiful movies of the year. It was the second, up until 2 days ago, it was the number one most successful movie of the year. And then the most recent money for Star Wars came in.
Cool.
And Star Wars just eclipsed it. So it's the number two most successful movie of the year. Number nine is Lady Bird. Thought that was a beautiful and very touching movie. Number eight, Three Billboards Over Ebbing, Missouri. Little Quentin Tarantino meets Coen Brothers weirdness with Frances McDormand. Number seven.
Frances McDormand is a great actress.
Yeah, right?
She is. Just a freak show, but a great actress. And I think to some extent you have to be a freak show to be a great actor or actress.
A little bit. I think she got a pretty good chance of winning Best Actress of the Year at the Academy Awards. Yeah. Sally Hawkins May for another movie that's in my top ten. Coco was number seven. The Pixar animated movie was lovely. Of all the comedies that came out this year, I liked The Big Sick the best. I thought it was so smart.
Very entertaining.
So simple, so entertaining.
Yeah.
Great performances. That's my number six pick. Sally Hawkins is one of the stars of The Shape of Water, the Guillermo del Toro movie.
Did you see that movie yet? No, I don't know that I can.
You got to go see this movie, Steve.
It does look really weird.
It does look really weird. And when my first initial reaction when I walked out is, this is the weirdest movie I've ever seen. And then
it's a woman in love with a sea lion, right? That's the premise.
A woman in love with a sea creature that is captured for research.
He looks like a sea lion to me.
If you go back and look at the monster in Creature from the Black Lagoon, the old B movie, it's pretty much exactly that
but
same.
Doesn't she have a love scene with the sea lion?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just too weird.
Sea creature. It's like Beauty and the Beast, probably.
Okay. Your hands on whose fins you want, and she'll do it the same for her. It's a beautiful, beautiful story about unconditional love.
All right.
Ultimately, what's that
sure
about?
It is. Five?
It's number five on my list. That's number four. Number
three
is The Post. The Tom Hanks
can't wait for this.
Meryl Streep movie. Opens limited release in Chicago this coming Friday, and then wider release the week after that. You know what? I forgot to mention number five, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is number five and was awesome. Number two, Get Out, the scary movie directed by Jordan Peele, his directorial debut. Not only a super effective, scary movie, but a really powerful statement on race and race relations.
You sure this isn't just another one of those brain transfer things that we see over and over again?
that we see churned out by Hollywood over and over.
How ironic, though, Dean, it's nominated under the Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy for the Globes this
weekend. Isn't that weird?
The Globes categories are dumb.
The Globes are weird to begin with. The Globes are like 50 numbskull critics like me. People like me should not be in charge of such a powerful... awards organization. Just a bunch of Hollywood reporters and a really small group of them is my bigger concern. Number one movie of the year, I chose Dunkirk. I thought it was so
great,
so powerful, so amazing, so creatively assembled. All of these stories put together from different perspectives. No traditional leading man or leading lady in this movie. No traditional storyline. But I thought it was amazing. So Dunkirk, number one for the year. And Steve, later on in the week, my 10 worst movies of the year. Much
Can't
more entertaining list.
Can't
than,
wait for that.
Than this one.
Thanks, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
8:33 and more coming up in just a moment, including the big story and Coach Ditka, who I believe should come back and coach the Bears immediately. Stand by for that.
Second.
On 720 WGN.
Ditka.
Well, it's coming. Right now. Right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
The Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best Bears conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
Coach. Once and forever. The coach joins us, I assume, from Florida. Good God, I hope you're not in this cold.
Sorry, it's cold down here, too. It's about 50 degrees, but it's pretty nice.
I'll get whine it out, 50 degrees. 50 degrees. You know how that's 100 degrees warmer than it is here?
I know. It's not good. It's chilly everywhere. This is the only place in the country, really, that has been warm, but it's a little cool today.
All right, enough fooling around. You've had your time in Florida. It's time for you to come back and coach the Bears one more time.
You are funny, Steve. You are a funny man.
Come on.
a lot of people. Well, you know, it's a shame. It really is. I mean, and you know, when you're the coach, you got to take the responsibility and the blame. And John is a good coach. And, you know, if the answer to everything is if something isn't working, you just fire the coach, then there'd be a lot of coaches fired. I mean, but I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I don't follow as close as I used to. I'm a fan of, you know, I'm a Bears fan, but I really don't know what, you know, you have to have a game plan all the way through the organization, top, middle, bottom. I mean, the coaching staff's only a part of it. The players are part of it. The management's a part of it. You know, it's got to be everybody on the same page for the same reason to get the job done. In other words, the only goal they should have right now in Chicago is make the Bears champions again. How you do that, then you got to make those decisions. You got to figure out how you do it. I mean, you know, in the 80s, you know, when I got there, the cupboard was not bare. My God, we had a lot of great players. Right. I had a great defense coordinator. But we had to bring the other pieces in. You had a Walter Payton. You didn't have a quarterback. We brought McMahon in. You had Sui. You didn't have receiver. We brought Dennis McKinnon and Willie Golding. We brought Speed. You know, you have to fill out the puzzle. You know, whatever you need, you got to draft. We didn't have offensive linemen. We got Culver. We got Thayer. We got Bortz. We got Becker. I mean, and it made a big difference because our offensive line in the 80s was as good as anybody.
Right.
You look at what you need, and then you got to find a way to go get it. You know, and you say, well, this guy can play, but if you're not winning with him, then evidently he's not playing well enough to get the job done. So I think you got to go look for somebody that's going to, you know, I don't have an answer. If I had an answer, I would certainly call them and say, hey, here's what you do. You're going to get better immediately. I don't have the answer, but it's some soul searching really right now.
Yeah.
This was not a good year. This was an embarrassing year.
So here's the question I would have is, you know, there's this whole question about whether or not a coach should have control over the 55. The whole, if I'm going to make the dinner, I ought to be able to shop for the groceries thing that I think Parcells said back in the day. I would argue that there is more time-sucking constraints on the modern head coach than there has ever been. Is it appropriate for a head coach coming in to say, look, at least I got to be in those meetings and I got to know what changes you're making and I got to get a vote?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to make changes in personnel to the football team, I think the one of the most important people has to be the head coach. And I would say, honestly, I'd bring my coordinators in there too. And I think you have to have, everybody's got to get on the same page, front office, coordinators, head coach. And you, well, here's, what do we need? Can we get by with this? No, no, we need this. We needed a safety. We draft Dave Dorson. You know, we needed a speed receiver. We draft Willie Gault. It's not too hard when you look at what you got to do. A lot of the pieces were in the puzzle. I mean, we didn't have to do anything. You're not going to replace a Dan Hampton or Steve McMichael. We drafted Richard Dano. You know, and it makes a big difference when you get those kind of people. And we had Singletary. We had Fencik. We had Otis. We brought in Marshall. I mean, it was common sense to everybody. What we needed, we went out and got. And that wasn't me. That was Bill Tobin and the scouting department that went out and got us exactly what we wanted.
Seen some teams turn it around pretty quickly lately. The L.A. Rams this year, obviously, have been a great example of that. Philadelphia the last couple of years with a young quarterback. Do you see pieces with the Bears now that would lead you to believe that could happen here?
Yes, I've said all year two things. If you're going to be a good football team, I really believe you have to be able to run the football. The Bears can run the football. And they can play defense. Those two things are important. They've always matched up well on special teams. It's just a matter of stopping people at the right time and scoring at the right time. If you're not getting any points on the board, it puts tremendous pressure on your defense. It's hard to shut out people in the National Football League. I don't know if you watched that college game. They scored over 100 points in it yesterday.
Yes. Right. Yes.
They're bigger, faster, stronger, better than they've ever been. I mean, it's not like playing in 1963. We beat somebody 10-3 or something for the championship. That's not going to happen. I mean, these offenses, these coaches are phenomenal. They're great minds. So, you know, it's going to, yeah. But if people say, well, it's time to throw in the towel, then they're sick. I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Just got to find a way to get to it.
And the talk is find a coach who can help develop Trubisky. Would you think that's more important than having a great offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach to do that job?
I think you hire a quarterback coach or coordinator to do that. Don't worry about that. You hire whoever you hire for your head coach, he's the boss. He's going to make the final decisions. Let him make the decisions based on how the football on the field operation should be run. He's not talking about the office or anything else, but he has to have that power to make the on-the-field decision. Who stays, who leaves, why, this and that. I just think that's important.
So you come to your senses and come back. I guess we'll have to keep looking.
No, I mean it. When I looked at the Bears at the beginning of the year, I thought, well, you know, hey, I love the way they run the ball. I mean, I love a lot of things they do. But it just gets hard when you can't take the pressure off the other side. You got to score enough points to get the pressure off the defense. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to pitch a shutout every week. 63 Bears were the last one that could do that. We couldn't score, but nobody could score on them. I mean, come on. It's very hard to it's very hard to comprehend it sometimes, but it's a complete team sport. I mean, you're not going to do any better than if you got a good offense and a good defense and you got special teams that fumble kickoff or give up big returns, you're not going to do very well.
Well, since we know you were watching the Rose Bowl and that crazy game between Oklahoma and Georgia, what do you think of the job that Kevin Butler's doing helping to coach the Georgia kickers?
Exactly, with his Blankenship kid in glasses.
I saw him, yeah. I thought it was a professor out there kicking, and I watched it, and then I heard him say about Kevin, listen, Kevin's great. He knows more about kicking than most people will ever know. So he forgot more about it than most people will ever know. But, no, that's great to see. I mean, I watched that game, and that was a heck of a football game. I mean, Georgia beat them fair and square. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, we scored 100 points in a football game. I mean, you know, somebody ought to win.
I've known Butt Ed for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. You've known him forever. Was he a pain in the butt to you as a player? Was he fun?
I never know. Kevin was the most unlike kicker as a personality than anybody you've ever seen. Usually kickers are these guys that go off, you know, and they go off of themselves and they meditate. Well, Kevin was one of the guys. He hung out with the defensive guys, and when they went out to have a beer, he went with them. He was one of the guys. I mean, he was accepted, you know, and I'm serious. Sometimes kickers. I mean, really, you never see them on the field until they come out for the kicking thing, and then you never see them in the meeting because you're in the offensive or defensive meeting. But, you know, Kevin was the real deal.
We love Butthead. Love Butthead. He's great. Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate it. No, I'm so sorry it's 50 degrees. Gee, put on a sweater.
I got a sweater on. I'm going out right now to hit the ball.
Bet you, you are. Go. All right, man. See you later. That's Coach Mike Ditka. 50 degrees.
But you know, I'm telling you, Nashville last week,
yeah.
People were, they thought it was the beginning of the ice age.
Is that
and
right?
It was like 25, 30 degrees most of the week.
Oh, I'd take 25 today.
Well, I would too, but I mean, but it's different, and they have a different perspective than we have.
It's
we're
funny
tougher.
It's funny to watch the weather forecast in California or somewhere, you know, Las Vegas, and it hits 50 and they're running out to get winter coats. It's kind of cute.
When I left Minneapolis in 94, I guess, to come here, you know, and have lived here ever since, with the exception of being thrown out a couple times and kept coming back, I didn't sign up for this. This is Minnesota winter.
You didn't know about this.
This is Minnesota cold.
Give it back.
Minnesota would have, every December, January, would have like a 2-week snap where the high temperature never got to zero.
Oh.
You know, the daytime high would be -5, -2.
Welcome back.
Yeah. No, I'm not approving this. Mother Nature is drunk and angry. It's 7:53, wherever you are. No, it's 8:53, Steve. Roger's back in for Mary. What do you got? Got a big announcement coming up of personal nature here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd bring in the person that sort of caused this. In a good way. Created this.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say.
Cause sounds negative.
Created.
Sandberg's here. And, of course, I wanted to make sure that they're getting engaged because they're doing it on their own, and it's not against their will because they're afraid of Sandberg.
It's true.
All right, who are we talking about?
We are talking about my coworker, Mike Jacobson.
Yes.
And his
lovely fiance.
Audrey.
Fiance. She's congratulations.
Awesome. Miss Audrey.
See the ring.
Woo! It's so pretty. Oh, nice. I've already had it on my finger.
Nice. Oh, I didn't get to try it out.
Yeah. All right, so here's
You got to get aggressive with something like that. So
Audrey's really, really, really talented in the PR business, and she's jumped around a couple companies because she's been recruited to different places.
Yeah.
So she comes in, and she's minding her own business. She's not hurting anybody. And, Clammy in there decides, oh, I got to ask her out. And Mike brought it up to you.
You know, the story is amazing. Prior to me going on this one vacation, Mike tells me, I think, and he doesn't talk about personal stuff at all. And he said, I'm thinking I might be ready for a relationship, but I don't want a needy girlfriend who
But I don't think he said it to you. He just said it out loud.
He said it out loud. I don't want to have to go to a lot of dinners during the week. That is what he told me.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, I go on vacation. I was in Puerto Rico, and we booked one of Audrey's guests, and so she had a deal with Mike. I come back from Puerto Rico, and he goes, I think I'm going to ask that girl out from Kemper Lesnick or Kemper Sports or whatever. Which one?
Yeah, you're working at Kemper then.
Lesnick. Okay. And I was like, she is never going to say yes. That's what I thought in my head. Because, like, he's not all chatty in the morning. Like, what kind of impression would he have made when she was here, you know? Right.
What did you think the first time you saw him?
Well, he offered a donut. So.
Right. I did not know there was a donut.
So he went with the sugar ploy.
Yeah. I did notice him. He had the socks hat on. I thought he was kind of cute. I thought we had a little rapport after the donut. And then I emailed him. Actually, I had a pitch for another part event that Kemper was doing. And
but did you think he might ask you out?
Well, I sent it, and I signed it A, thinking, sent it from my iPhone, more personal, not the, like, blast or whatever, and I never heard back.
Look at you. Look at Mr.
Wait, she never heard back.
I never heard back, so I was like, oh, I guess I was wrong. I don't think he liked me.
Wow, look at you. You actually had a shot from the beginning.
He asked her on a date, and then he took her on a date, and then he didn't order enough food on that date.
Where was the first date?
The Twisted Spoke.
That's my favorite detail.
Because he made me pick.
Good burgers.
Well, I don't understand. He didn't order enough food. What does that mean?
Mike?
Well, we ordered...
Because Mike didn't eat... Prior to meeting Audrey, remember he was anorexic and he only ate a Chipotle once a day. Like, that's all he...
Right. Which is why he weighs 114 pounds.
Right. Well, I mean, what else do you get on a first date than chips and guac and cheese curds? So that's what we got.
And beer. Chips and guac.
But hold on a second. It wasn't like the restaurant ran out of food. You just didn't order enough food?
No, well, we were so engaged in conversation, Steve.
Were you hungry?
Oh, I was dying. I was eventually, about like an hour, and I was like, should we get some food? trying to not be, you know, too pushy, too needy.
All right, I got to hear more about this. We'll actually let Mike talk too, but not immediately. And then you got to tell us how it happened and how we asked and all that. But it's a very busy week for Mike. We'll talk later in the week about something else going on.
And then she has a great story about how she was telling people.
We'll find out.
It's a good tease.
But he's very lucky. And if you choose to run, we'll understand.
All right. I appreciate the support.
The Witness Protection Program.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The brand new Amazing Race season looks pretty cool to me. This is enough to suck me in immediately. One of the teams projected as an early favorite, IndyCar drivers Alexander Rossi. Remember, Rossi won the 500 as a rookie a couple of years ago in 2016. And Connor Daly, one of the best young drivers out there as well. Connor drives for AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti. I believe it's Mario is Rossi's boss. Anyway, they both join me now. Good morning, boys. How are you?
Hey, man. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Now, what? Who got the offer first? Who got the phone call that said you ought to do this?
Well, IndyCar, really. And then, IndyCar does an amazing job of kind of pushing the drivers out to different media outlets and avenues. And then kind of IndyCar chose Connor and I because, well, I think that together we're pretty funny, first of all. And then second of all, we've known each other for a very long time. And our history dates back quite a ways.
So were you guys fans of the show, either one of you, aware of it, watchers?
I actually watched it a lot in high school, really randomly. It was sort of actually one of my favorite shows. So I haven't watched a lot of TV lately because as soon as I graduated high school, I moved to Europe for racing. So wasn't a lot of American television going on. But, I actually loved the show when I was younger. So it was kind of really interesting and crazy to be able to, get the opportunity to be on it.
Yeah, you guys are together a lot during the entire filming, and your
way to ruin a friendship.
Yeah, I was going to say, is your friendship still intact?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we still in BS. So, it was cool because Connor and I, like I kind of alluded to before, we've known each other for almost 7 years, and we kind of already did something pretty unique in being kind of the only two Americans representing, the nation in Formula One. So we've been used to kind of being the sole people out there trying to blaze the trail. So it was cool to be able to do this with him. I mean, we travel to a lot of places, obviously, with our job, but you see hotels and racetracks, see the culture. So you definitely get thrust into some pretty interesting situations on the Amazing Race.
By the way, I'm a race fan. Who's a tougher boss, AJ Foyt or Andretti?
Well, AJ Foyt fired me. It must be AJ.
I didn't realize. All right. Well, there you go. That solves that. Answers that question. All right. So you guys have wrapped filming, correct?
Yes, we have. Yep.
All right. So why don't you just go ahead and save us some time and tell us if you won?
No doubt. Yeah, you got to watch. You got to tune in to find out.
That's not how it works. Okay.
It's going to be worth tuning in, I tell you what.
You guys, I read an article that said, the physical challenges obviously are difficult, but that wasn't the hardest part. It was being away from what?
Well, I'd say really just being away from normal life, being away from your phone. Obviously, everyone's so attached to your cell phone these days. Everything goes on your phone, so. It's, they obviously took those as soon as we arrived in New York City. That was it. So it was interesting because, we don't want a lot of talk to other teams in between, certain different, areas. It was just different. Certainly very different than day-to-day life. So that was kind of crazy.
Who were you surprised was putting up a good fight? As a really good rival, because there's a lot of really talented young athletic teams here.
I think everyone. We kind of through the build up and the lead up that CVS and production has you go through in both LA and New York. You're kind of with and around the other teams, but you can't actually speak to them. You don't know who they are. You can just tell by the way they carry themselves and, you know, how fit they are and just everything about them, their presence. You can tell that they're professionals and they're competitive. So, you know, they talk about how it's one of the most competitive seasons they've ever had, and I'd say that that's probably true. I mean, it was a constant dogfight just to try and stay alive.
Talking with the winning team, as far as we're concerned, Alexander Rossi and Connor Daly, IndyCar drivers for the new Amazing Race. One of the teams is Joey Chestnut and Tim Janis. These are the competitive eaters. I know you didn't cross paths with these guys much, but did you ever just think about getting some hot dogs and throwing in front of them to distract them?
I love Joey. It was hilarious. it was pretty wild to be able to meet him, first of all. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, no hot dogs that we got to throw in front of him. But you never know. We can't actually tell you what happened, so we'll see.
There's some firefighters that you're going to be inspired by. There's a team from Big Brother, basketball represented, and motor racing. So, by the way, a little preview of the season coming up. You guys both feeling good? Nope, we lose them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm here. I mean,
I said, are you both feeling good with the race season coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm pumped about it. You know, it's a long off season, so we last drove a race car at the end of September, and we're in January now, so it's definitely, the itch is here, and looking forward to getting back in the car now.
All right, it is the new Amazing Race season. You can follow it on social media at the Amazing Race _ CBS and hashtag Team IndyCar Driver, and Diabetic Friend is a good way to chase it along too for Connor Daly's side of this. You want to plug, Alexander, you want to plug your social?
Yeah, it's Alexander Rossi. You know, I really hope that, you know, people tune into the show. I had really not watched it prior to finding out that we had the opportunity to go on it, and I kind of crammed three seasons into a couple of weeks, and it's an awesome show. So everyone who hasn't seen it before is worth watching for the first episode. I'm pretty sure you'll be hooked on it.
All right, good luck, fellas. I think they won, don't you? Don't you think they won?
Like,
don't you feel
like
they won?
Sounds like it.
I feel like you guys won.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you come on the show if you stunk it up? Come on.
We'll see.
Okay, good. But they're tough.
Yeah,
they won't crack.
They won.
They will not crack. Thank you, gents. Be safe. Alexander Rossi and Connor Daly about the Amazing Race and the brand new season of the Amazing Race. So, you know, isn't that one of Vanderbilt's favorite shows?
Yeah, that's a great show.
It's a great show. I think the two of you would make a great team on that show.
Andre,
oh,
me?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Totally do that,
totally.
Right?
I see, especially some of the physically demanding, real
no
strenuous
question about
cast.
It. Can I take like a Hummer-on scooter for part of the race? Like,
well, you're agile. Your DNA.
Testing. Agile, cat-like.
Yes.
Yes.
Like a...
Yeah.
Like a gazelle.
Ninja? Is ninja the word you're looking for?
Yeah, like your prowess. Absolutely.
Let's get on to what really matters here, and that's the happiness of Audrey and Mike.
Yeah.
We'll come back and tell you more about the pending nups. The nuptials.
Yeah.
Weren't you in a band?
The pending nups? Yeah. Yeah. Nups to be named later. 8:19, make it 9:19.
That was his dancer name.
How is it I've lost the ability to tell time? It's 9:19. We're back with more on CLTV and 720 WGN. There you go. Mike Jacobson, producer of the program, and Audrey Wayne, engaged to be married. Hey, Casanova, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was a fun weekend.
When did this
happen? I'm exhausted, but it was awesome. I did it on Friday. So, yeah, things had to change a lot because I got a text on Wednesday from her saying, WFH Friday, ! And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Work from home Friday. And I was off on Friday. We were all off this past week. So I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. That's not going to throw my plans off at all. But, you know, so I was planning on doing it at our apartment. So we
and there was some architecture involved as to how you would do it.
Yes, exactly. So
loving candles and open flame.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so, but luckily, as fate may have it, she had a dentist appointment that day.
Thank so, God for your dentist.
Thanks God for Novocaine.
So she had a filling, so we had 45 minutes approximately to get light 51 candles and get everything set up the way I wanted.
Wait, why 51?
Because I don't like even numbers. So okay, I did 51 instead of 50.
Audrey, you should make a
fun
note
fact.
Of
good luck.
Should make a note of all these little things, these little quirky things.
Oh, that one I knew.
Oh, yeah. She knows. I'm OCD, so she knows. She's well aware. Okay. She's well aware. So
still
then I was able to do that.
Setting the smoke alarm off?
Not setting the smoke alarm off. Did spill some wax on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still
that
there.
That comes up with a paper
bag. Yeah,
okay.
Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, NBC Sports Chicago, yeah. Let me know how to get that up, so
right.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then I was waiting at the top of the stairs with some vintage champagne and 25
nice.
Roses.
25, nice. Exactly. Got to be odd.
What vintage?
2008.
A Veuve 2008.
That's a good one, Audrey?
Dave, is that okay?
Audrey's studying to be a sommelier.
Well, Audrey would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would know.
So she
like
was in.
Dave pretends he doesn't know.
I know, yeah. Dave knows. I see it in his eyes.
All right, so
I gave
she
my little
in.
Spiel. Yeah, she walked in.
All right, now hold on. Let me jump to the bride to be here. You walked in. Did you have any idea this was coming?
I had no idea.
Three in the afternoon.
That's very good. Yes. Good. Not even a suspicion.
Sitting
on the
ovation.
Walk back from the dentist, though, I did stop at there was a jeweler, and I looked at some rings of just like, oh, that'd be nice. It's probably not happening anytime soon. And then the next store that caught my eye was a wedding dress shop. I was like, well, that's pretty, but eh. And I kept walking, half numb
you.
On my left side.
Oh.
You pulled off something that's very difficult to do because in the preparation and all that, you got to tell a few people. Mm-hmm. And usually somebody leaks. Usually there is a leaker.
There right. usually is.
So but, when right. you walked in, you know, you walked in. Could you picture she's walking in and she had some incident at the dentist and her head's down and she comes in and she goes, you would not believe what happened. And then she looks up. And
there's a million things that factor in because we have a dog next door that we both love, Sammy. And sometimes when he hears us jiggling the door to get in, he gets excited, and our neighbor Dan and Stacy, they let him out. So I'm thinking, and then he runs up our stairs. And I said, that would be bad with rose petals everywhere and 51 tea lights lit.
Yes.
You know? So that didn't happen. Plus, we have a back door that you can go in. We have two entrances. So I'm like, if she comes up the back door, then it's really not going to work out.
No.
And then I thought, well, if she's really numb, and she was also saying, too, during the day, she's like, I'm just really not feeling that good. You know, I think I might be coming down with something.
Oh, no.
And her stepmom and dad were sick, and we had saw them from Denver. They were in town, so I was like, oh, now she's sick? I'm like, oh, it's not going to work. And then, but in the end, it all worked. She was surprised, and we had a great, great night. It was awesome.
That's
a great
awesome.
Weekend. So, and she got to see both of her parents, sets of parents, her mom and stepdad, and dad and stepmom. They both live out of state, Milwaukee and Denver. But we were going to see all of them this upcoming weekend, so it worked out.
What's the etiquette here in a two-family situation?
I asked all four of them.
Wow.
Did you? Oh, nice job.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's
what a
really
mess
cool.
you must have been by the time that was
that's
over.
That's very thoughtful.
And I somehow kept it from Mary Sandberg Boyle, which was pretty impressive.
Yeah, because she's got like wedding radar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she asked about it pretty much on
all right,
a weekly
now, Audrey,
basis.
You've been dating how long?
About a year and a half.
All right. And over the summer, last summer, we made a big issue out of the fact that you guys were invited to how many weddings?
We were invited to 12.
And you attended?
10.
And you were in how many?
One.
So over the course of this time, you know, the cliche is once you're serious about a guy, a woman can go, well, I can picture him in the tux. And maybe you start thinking about your future and have those plans, where a guy generally doesn't go down that road on the same rate of speed.
Right.
No. So at what point and in what wedding did you go, I certainly hope this moves along and we get to that point sooner than later? Is there a wedding we can give tribute to that tipped us over the edge?
I think it was actually even before the wedding started.
Wow.
Yeah.
My dad actually said yesterday, because to ask me out on our second date, Mike had sent us one of those small glass bottles of Diet Coke with my name on it.
Kids, you little romantic.
Well, you know.
My dad said last night that when I told him about that, he knew that Mike was going to be the one.
Wow.
And my dad's not sentimental or anything like that. He's John Wayne. So hearing that was like,
He is literally John Wayne.
Yeah, he literally is John Wayne. Yeah.
Can I tell how Audrey told me? This was so cute. I saw her Sunday at Trump Tower. She arranged for our piece for TV for the weekend break segment on champagne tasting. So she shows up. It was just, you know, kind of a flurry. There was a lot going on. We were checking in, and I said, hey, how were your holidays? And Audrey kind of put her beautifully manicured hand with the ring on it on her shoulder, and she said, well, I've gained some winter weight. And my response was, I went, you look great. What are you talking about? And she went, no, I gained some winter weight,
and
about 2 carats worth. And I went, ah! Typical, you know.
Nice job on the ring, dude.
Thank you. Yeah. I designed it myself. Yeah.
Can't describe it too much. I hear there are some French bandits on bikes. So
yeah, that's true.
Oh, no.
They could attack at any time. Sandberg, have you been hired yet as a consultant on this wedding?
I have not been officially hired, but I've weighed in quite a bit before even being asked any questions. And I'm still not real happy with Mike that he didn't consult me on the actual engagement.
You're the reason he knows the ring size, though.
I know, B, yeah.
Well, the reason you two guys are actually down this path.
I've been plotting for this. And I've been asking Mike periodically, every 3 weeks or so, I would say, you know, make sure you get a ring. Even though he wasn't talking to me about a ring, I was talking to him about a ring.
I thought you were going to do it on your trip to the Mexican drug cartel you two went to.
Yeah. In Playa del Carmen. Yeah. No, that, for one thing, I'm way too nervous about bringing a ring on a flight. I don't trust that.
Well, the way you pulled it off is quite impressive because, as you said, she wasn't expecting it. That is very difficult to do. And it's a nice story to tell as the years roll on.
And so we've already started wedding planning. The gallery is up of them, so they can go to WGMRadio.com and we'll put it on our socials. But they have a spreadsheet. Audrey has color-coded it already. She got engaged on Friday.
Yeah. She's a party planner.
I know.
She's an organizer.
So all her guests are in green and Mike's are in blue, and Mike is colorblind, so he doesn't know the difference.
Yeah, so that's going to really help out with the spreadsheet.
I'm looking forward to Mary and Audrey planning the wedding. I think it's going to be nice to follow them as they plan the wedding.
Audrey, who is the biggest concern? Too much information from all the moms involved, or Mary? Sandberg.
The moms are great.
So it's Sandberg to the dress set to the wedding.
I sent her what I thought her wedding dress should look like. I'm all in. So,
it was weird. She asked for our social security numbers this morning. I said, what's going on here?
If we have any ideas, basically just send them to Mary, and then they'll get to Audrey.
I'll vet those.
Yeah.
Very happy for you guys.
Thank you very much. That's awesome. It was an awesome weekend.
Great
awesome
together.
Weekend. I have to also thank my boss, Janet Isabelli of Isabelli Media Relations, for letting me not work the rest of the day after Mike asked.
Because Mike asked her. Isn't that sweet? He called her boss and said, hey, I'm going to ask Audrey to marry me, so is it okay if she doesn't work the last couple hours?
Dude, have you tied up some loose ends or what?
Yeah. You know me, I'm a detail-oriented person.
He's a producer. He's got to do that.
But she was so nice, and I was just like, just so you know, after 3 o'clock, she might not get back to emails right away. And I said, you really had to have everyone work from home today, didn't you? Like, as a joke. And we had a great conversation, and she was very supportive. And she's in St. Bart's right now?
St. Bart's.
Yeah. So.
Have you guys targeted when this is going to happen?
We're shooting, we think, after some consulting, and we still got to get back with Mary and see what Sandberg, she says.
Right.
I think we're shooting for this fall.
I think we can pull it off, guys.
Oh, man. Need Grace Lutheran Church in Forest Park, River Forest, Forest Park, Oak Park. I always forget where it is.
Just have Sandberg
I need them
make
to get
call.
Back to me.
I got this.
Oh, they haven't gotten back to you?
I just emailed them on New Year's Day.
All right, Grace Lutheran, come on. We need an answer.
You guys do know that I cannot make fall weddings. I just, you know, it's football. God.
Yeah, so you're going to want to rearrange that.
Maybe they can move it to a Wednesday so it's better for you.
Maybe you wouldn't mind.
You can appear via, like, video conferencing or something.
You know, with all the Southside stuff I hear from Mr. Sentimental here, which I have great, you know, affection for that. Can you imagine, Dave, as fathers of daughters, if he has a daughter someday? He will be a mess.
Oh yeah, there's no question. I don't know who cried me or her more when I asked Audrey for her hand.
That is probably so sweet.
I'm a softie.
You cried first. I probably cried more.
Yeah, probably. That's a good point. But then I told myself when I asked her dad, I said, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I am shirtless in Mexico, and I'm not going to cry, and I cried instantly. So. And it lasted about 20 seconds, but the whole conversation. But it was pretty good.
Well, your dad must be a really nice guy that he didn't go, stay here one sec, go back to Audrey, go, this guy's got to go.
Right. Yeah.
He's the best. He's the best. So thanks to Scott Wayne, Kim Wayne, Lee Spicer and Mark Spicer, a.k.a. Sparky Spicer, all the parents that signed off on this. So thank you very much. You
okay, don't screw it up from here, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Congratulations.
No pressure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Stop flashing that ring in my eyes.
Beautiful.
Blinded.
To Audrey.
Woo-hoo! And to Mikey. Woo-hoo.
All right, back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We've got a thing, and I suppose great I love. We've got a wave in the air, red I love.
944, we had Rossi and Daly on before. How about we go to the other side of racing now? And somebody who's done it both ways, it's Danica Patrick. And in a sport, which, you know, I'm a fan of, where you got to wear a helmet most of the time, there's very few more recognizable faces than Danica Patrick, who's here to talk about her new book and program, Pretty Intense. Good morning to you.
Morning. And so we're clear, you have to wear a helmet 100% of the time while driving the car, not most of the time.
There you go.
Well, I was speaking more in your personal life and maybe going to the grocery store. But you can't be
probably
too
safe.
Probably
not a bad idea to wear a helmet there either, really.
Yeah, you can't be. We always ask this, but do you ever get nervous just driving the highways knowing what idiots are out there?
You know, I'm very relaxed, but then I think to myself, yeah, but there are a lot worse drivers out there. So I spend most of my time watching them.
Surrounded by amateurs.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they really are. But hey, you know, that's what I do. There's things that I'm an amateur at that they're good at.
You ever get road rage?
I live in road rage.
Well, road rage, not professionally, but personally.
Yeah, that's where I live. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Just, you know, driving down the road. I mean, Chicago traffic. It's, you know, I'm a Chicago girl, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I grew up in Roscoe, Illinois, but I have a place downtown. I have had one for 7 years almost now. So, but it's, I prefer to drive around downtown than on the highway.
Yeah,
there's really nowhere you can go on the highway. At least downtown, you just keep making corners, you know, make a new road.
So
I second that 100%.
So I don't know what you're driving personally, but if you're passed at 180 miles an hour, say on Dearborn, it's totally safe. It's Danica.
Yeah, you can't go, you know, my stock car would go 210 or so, 215, and IndyCar goes 230, 240. So I don't think you're going to reach those speeds even on Lakeshore.
Probably not, no. Pretty intense, a book and a program, right?
Absolutely. It's mind, body, and food. So, you know, I thought it was really important. My book is called Pretty Intense, and it just came out. And so I thought it was, for me, it's always been a full vision of mine that it encompasses all of those things. Because, you know, you can work out, sure. You can eat healthy, sure. But, like, the mind is the part that has been missing. And so, you know, I want people to develop a healthy, good relationship with food and exercise to stop viewing it as a reward or a punishment in their life and start thinking of it as like a way of life, something that makes them feel good, something they're excited to do. And, you know, you have to try different foods and try different workouts and workout locations and things like that to fine tune what it is that fits for you, but make it enjoyable. It can be. It's just a matter of pushing yourself to figure it out, as well as starting to think positively. If you mind over matter, it is completely possible.
Danica, how do you stay motivated, or how would one stay motivated after reading the book as far as the temperatures? All right, it's 25 below right now. You know, a lot of us just want to retreat and just stay inside and eat popcorn and
whatnot. I mean, I've been in Indianapolis with my mom, dad, and sister, and the temperature is really no different there than in Chicago. And, you know, you work out inside. And so, yes, the workout program has seven workouts a week. Six of the seven are designed to be 20 to 25 minutes, and three of them each week are cardio sessions. And so, but they're interval cardio sessions. So it's like 1 minute of running, 1 minute walking, like 30 second sprint, 30 second walk. I mean, it's things like that, adding like air squats and squat jumps and just simple things like that into them to make it different and break it up. So that is a little bit harder. I mean, obviously, if you can't go to the gym, then I give examples as to how you can do things to get your heart rate up, whether it be jumping rope, stair taps, or jumping jacks, or butt kickers, or high knees. There's plenty of things that you can do to get your heart rate up. And if you just want to skip, you know, if cardio is just too hard, focus on the other ones. I mean, get a slam ball, get a kettlebell, get some weights, and get your
heart
moving. Rate up. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
get moving, get your heart up.
Yep.
The butt kickers are your own butt.
Uh-huh. Well, if you kick your own butt. You know?
Yeah, right. Kick it up from behind, kick your own butt. But Pretty Intense, I don't want people to get the wrong idea here, because the perception could be this is for elite athletes only. You're talking to everybody, right?
Absolutely. Everything is you can modify or scale it to whatever your fitness level is. So, you know, the two easy things that you do that scale are, one, the speed at which you do it, and two is the weight in which you use, because there are a few props. So, you know, let's say even a jump rope. There's jump rope in it. Just hop, literally up and down. Just vertically jump up and down. That would be your scale version. You know, if you can't use a 20-pound slam ball, then get a 5-pound slam ball. There's plenty of ways in which you can modify all these things to make it comfortable for you. But the program is also designed to start easy. So there's really very little props in the first month. So, you know, you're focusing on things like lunging and squatting and push-ups and dips and things like that that are basic movements. So I didn't design this program for an elite athlete starting on week one. Now, mind you, by the end of the program, it's difficult. Yes. I mean, I actually remember when I wrote it, I was like testing some of them. And my fear was that as I was testing all of them, because I had, you know, over 80 workouts to test because I had written them all. And I needed to make sure they flowed well and how long they took as well. And so I remember thinking, I hope it's not too easy.
Oh,
yeah, so I did it, and I was like, oh no, it's not easy at all. Okay, good.
Right, if it's got your heart pounding, it'll work for us. Exactly.
So, yeah. During the season, how often were you able to work out? How often did you work out?
Well, I mean, I work out all the time. I work out. I mean, I work out every day, but race day is a day for me to work out. So, I mean, I can remember some of the venues that we'd go to especially at the end of not last year, the year before. I remember being at like Texas Motor Speedway, and they have a gym at the track that's really nice. And so I can remember testing. I think I tested 5 or 7 workouts one weekend at the racetrack. And so, you know, I can do multiple because I wrote the program, right? So it's like I sometimes I didn't do them all the way exactly because I knew how to understand the workout based on doing part of it. But yeah, I mean, I it's not a problem for me. Working out is what I do.
Yeah, and it feels funny, I'm sure, when you don't get to do it. Prettyintense.com. It's a website. Get the book and program everywhere. I know you got to run, but quickie, Andrea? Yep.
Real quick, Danica, I love the part about the customized eating plan for all-day energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cutting out dairy and gluten especially, you'll for sure get a boost in energy, no doubt. And the paleo also includes cutting out grains and beans, legumes. So, you know, I encourage that as well. There's foods to leave out, foods to have less of, and then, you know, foods to eat.
Okay. All right. Enjoy it. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
See ya. Prettyintense.com. That's Danica Patrick. Bill and Wendy back today? Is Wendy back today?
Yeah, right?
Wendy in the house?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Wendy is not quite back. She's working from her house, but she'll be on with Bill in a little bit because she had the knee surgery.
Yeah, and
she had an extra knee put in.
Yeah. She has
she's got three now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 9.
But don't you wish you did?
Yeah, I wish. You know, my knees are feeling a little better.
Are they?
Drop a little weight, you feel a little better. Crazy how that works. 9:51 on 720 WGN. Walter's Perspective. I'm supposed to plug this. Walter's Perspective. See it at WGNradio.com. Okay. And see it and hear it and listen to it and all of those things. Before we run out of time today, before we get to Bill and the return of Wendy, and we have the celebration of her new knee.
Yeah.
Is it knee or knees?
Knee.
Okay.
She got one knee replaced.
Okay.
I believe, right?
As we were talking, I don't know if you got everything you wanted for Christmas, but Amazon is offering something now that's a bit trendy, but it's something you may want to do. Maybe you want to do a make good, but you can get tiny homes delivered by Amazon now.
Are you kidding?
Really?
Oh my God.
Tiny homes can be delivered to your door. Now, do you watch any of these tiny home shows?
I've seen the tiny home show. I don't watch it regularly, but it's interesting,
to say
the least.
I mean, I understand downsizing. You know, your kids grow up and they move on. They get their own place. But I don't understand the tiny home thing.
I could not live in a tiny home.
Because they're not cheap.
No, and there's no room.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're talking about
320 square feet. 320 square feet. It's a fabricated tiny home, fully furnished, and the residence is made from a new shipping container. It features a bedroom, a bathroom, a kitchenette, and a living area. It's also equipped with insulation, appliances, bath fixtures, toilet, shower, sink. But let's not overstate the toilet, shower, sink.
Yeah.
Because the toilet, shower, sink are all a foot and a half from each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Air conditioning, hookups for plumbing, water, and electricity, and double patio doors. It's move-in ready. All you need is a solid concrete slab or something called sonotube footings for the foundation, and Amazon will deliver it.
Yeah.
Not for you?
Not so much. That's cool that they do that, but hey, will they move
your
home?
Well, don't you want to know how much?
$1 million.
No, it's not that much. It's 300 square feet. $36,000 and $3,700 in shipping. So even if you're Amazon Prime, it's going to cost you $3,750 in shipping.
So wait, is that price for the home and the shipping and everything? And
yeah,
they bring 40 it up?
Grand, you're all in.
That's for pretty good, actually.
It's 300 yeah. square feet.
I know, but that's still pretty good.
I can't do it. I
couldn't either. No, hey, will they move your house? Like, you like your house so much. Mm-hmm. Would Amazon, like, dig up your house, put it on slats, and
dig
move
it up,
for you?
Move it for you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
I'm just trying to help you. I'm just thinking of you.
Well, I don't have to move as far as I know, but, you know, that could change at any time.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of new laws taking effect in Illinois for 2018. I don't know if you've paid much attention to these. A bail reform act.
Mm-hmm.
The Bail Reform Act creates new rights for people arrested on a nonviolent crime, particularly when it comes to posting bail. The new law is trying to shift focus on decisions surrounding defendants' pretrial release. And, you know, we got such a backlog of people in Cook County Jail.
Right.
That, you know, they wait so long for their hearing to find out what their bail is.
I know.
They overserve what sentence they would have had if they'd gone through the whole process.
I know. I'm still not a fan of that.
Of letting
someone out just because there's overcrowding.
Well, you better fix the court system then quickly.
I know. I'm on it.
State and Medicaid coverage for abortions, which will remain legal. Mm-hmm. Very controversial program. Breastfeeding accommodations in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is controversial, but if you accept the fact that a teenager can get pregnant, and some teenagers do, isn't it better for the baby to be able to breastfeed?
Absolutely. I think so. Don't you?
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. Absolutely. Barack Obama Day will be celebrated in Illinois. 2018 will be the first year of Barack Obama Day. Senate 55 reads, Barack Obama Day joins the other commemorative holidays like Adlai Stevenson Day. I didn't know there's an Adlai Stevenson Day?
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that.
It's probably celebrated but not recognized as far as schools having the day off.
And workplaces don't close either. There's a Ronald Reagan Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Jane Addams Day.
There should be a Barack Obama Day. He was the president of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. Teen organ donors. We talked about this as Bill Left joins us with Jesse White.
Mm-hmm.
That teens can now donate their organs.
Yep.
After they die.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you need money for like the weekend. You can't do it ahead of that.
I donated my Wurlitzer, Steve.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I suggest others do the same.
There's a ban on circus elephants in Illinois.
Yeah, how about that?
So elephants and circuses will no longer be allowed?
How about that?
No more elephants at the circus at the United Center.
That's crazy.
Did you see the one? This is the one that I think was the funniest. Kids who are in pre-K can't be expelled from school anymore.
Yeah, no matter what they say.
Right?
No matter what their attitude is. Hey, Timmy.
They said that they're supposed to resolve their problems rather than simply being kicked out.
Yeah.
Did they still make kids named Timmy? Do they? Yeah. I didn't know if they still made
You'll
those
notice
kids.
Anytime there's a child reference on this show, Timmy. I'll go to Timmy.
How come anytime people talk about kids and their problems, it's always either Johnny or Billy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that Billy.
Don't know.
Johnny can't read, Billy can't write.
And the official state grain of Illinois is...
What is it?
Wheat.
Quinoa.
Corn.
Of course
it is.
It's corn.
Not soybean?
No.
You get...
Is that a grain?
Quinoa?
No. Later this week, Kaleluya, the song. Have you heard?
Is that... No, I've not heard it.
Yeah, original song from John.